Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out of a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. 18 stories of a beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday, so that means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. We've got You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on them to crown the dummy of the week. We've got Straight Outta Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7, and whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes for Nick D's show, Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, we have Fly Jams Friday with DJ Luscious Hushes coming in. And we're very excited. Our old pal Esmeralda Leon is going to join us starting at 2 o'clock, and she's going to stay with us until 5. So Esmeralda's coming back. She used to be a regular on the show, did traffic. We don't do the traffic. We don't have a traffic person on the overnights anymore. So we lost Esmeralda in September, just this past September, and we miss her. So we try to have her on pretty frequently. And we'll do a little game with her for the record, as we always do when Esmeralda's in here. Lots to talk about. Catch up with Esmeralda Leon. So that's coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for any talk or text, fly jam requests for a little bit later on as well. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. There you go. And subscribe to our podcasts. Every single second of every single show is podcast. Lots of people listen to our podcast, and we appreciate that. So just go to wherever you get your podcasts, go to iTunes, wherever they are. Look for the Nick D Show. Subscribe. It's free, and it will show up automatically to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. All right. Let me say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Okay. Okay. Stay cool this weekend.
Oh, I will. I promise you that.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts, man.
I got ice packs ready.
Yeah.
I got the central air cranked.
Ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky. I live on the first floor, you know.
Yeah. So I am very concerned about what's going to happen at Wrigley Field the next couple of days.
It's not good. People got to be safe. They got to be smart.
You know, I know Ryan just, in the newscast there said that they're going to have plenty of water and it'll be free and there'll be ice available and stuff. But still, man. And sitting in for Vic, who's out this morning in the newsroom, is Ryan Burrow. Ryan, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good to see you on the overnights, my friend.
Yeah.
Is this
yeah.
the first time you've done the overnights?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, how about that? Well, welcome, man.
I've got, get this, my sister is getting married on the north side this weekend, and of course I'm in the wedding, and we've got pictures in Lincoln Park
on
Saturday afternoon,
oh,
so I'm going to be wearing a
man.
Suit.
Oh,
she sent a message out to everyone who's in the wedding party saying, hey, we're going to have a trolley. It's going to take us to the wedding and there's going to be beer on there. I want water.
Oh, man. Wow.
We need to be well hydrated. I told her, start drinking water now because, you know, this stuff is cumulative and you don't want Saturday to roll around and you'd be sick from being dehydrated.
Yeah. I can tell that you don't work on the overnights because when you did the weather report, you said tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you said Saturday. Tomorrow is Saturday.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Yeah, so I know it's hard to get used to that. I mean, I've been doing the overnights for a long time, Ryan, so it's, you know, I'm used to the fact that this is now Friday.
I have to pull the calendar dates. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Well, welcome, man. It's nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, cool. So we got this heat wave going. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Time Magazine put together the list of the sweatiest movies of all time. So we're going to talk about the sweatiest movies of all time. And if you can think of any, you know, movies that take place during a heat wave, the sweatiest movies of all time is what we're going to talk about. We're going to dive into this heat wave and talk about it and have some fun. So everybody stay cool. Let's talk about the sweatiest movies of all time. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Friday. All the regular Friday features will be coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. And our old friend Esmeralda Leon is going to be joining us after 2 o'clock to hang out all through the morning until 5. We'll play a little For the Record with her and catch up and talk about whatever comes to mind with our old friend Esmeralda Leon. All right, it's going to be hot this weekend, like super hot. It's already hot right now, but extremely, extremely hot this weekend. So we thought we would have some fun with that and talk about the sweatiest movies of all time. Time Magazine put together a list of the sweatiest movies of all time. And if you want to jump in with your contributions, 312-981-7200. Here's Ike. Go ahead, Ike.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
Good.
Okay, this is a very good movie about in the taking place summer, and it's very relevant today with the stuff that's going on. Michael Douglas and Falling Down.
Yeah, a lot of sweat in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot
absolutely.
Of sweat. Yeah.
It's very metaphoric because the reason why it's taking place in the heat because the heat has turned up in society, and society has gone to. Is burning and the London Bridge is falling down. That's the metaphor of the movie.
Right, right. All right, Ike, thanks.
No problem.
There you go. Yeah, Falling Down, Michael Douglas. I love that movie. It was funny because, you know, Joel Schumacher directed that movie, and Joel Schumacher is not known for making good movies. He's mostly known for making terrible movies. But he came to town to promote that movie, and I pretty much hate almost every movie that Joel Schumacher has directed. Pretty much hate them all. And then I ended up liking Falling Down, which surprised me because it's a Joel Schumacher movie. And then he came to town to promote it, and he came on Roy Leonard's show, and I sat in on the interview. And I understand why the guy keeps getting gigs, because he's one of the most charming people I've ever met in my life. Like, he's a terrible filmmaker, but he can sell. I know how he keeps. It's not impossible to see why he kept getting gigs. He's not working as much now, but there was a period of time where he was working a lot and working on big budget movies. Well, I mean, did two of the worst Batman movies of all time. But I can understand. I mean, I'm sure he charmed producers, and like they're like, yeah, make whatever movie you want to make, because he was thoroughly charming and really told great stories and was really affable and it was great to meet the guy. I was like, I came away, I'm like, well, I'm not a fan of your movie. I didn't say this to him, but I'm not a fan of your movies, but I like you. But I do like Falling Down. I think Michael Douglas is really good in it. And, you know, it's just, and Duvall is in it. I really like that movie. And it is sweaty. There's no question about it, because his air conditioning's not working in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gets up, leaves when he's in the middle. And then he just walks around L.A., you know, with a gun, asking why the hamburger he ordered doesn't look anything like the picture of the hamburger on the menu and stuff like that. Like, doing all these things that we would, you know, it's one of those, it's a dark movie, but it's one of those movies that, man, that would be cool to do some of the stuff he's doing, like to rebel against what these everyday things that we can't stand that build up.
Yeah. So it works. It works very well.
It does. And it's a sweaty movie, which falls into the category of what we're talking about. Sweatiest movies of all time. Here's Jan on WGN. Hi, Jan.
Hello, Mr. DiGilio, the man, the legend, it's an honor.
Oh, come on.
Man, from the beginning. Body Heat and Gladiator.
Yeah, oh man, Body Heat. Yeah, that's definitely, that is an unbelievably sweaty. I mean, the title's sweaty. So, and Gladiator, yeah, that's another one, man. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. You got to stay cool this weekend, Jan, okay?
You too, thank you.
Okay, buddy, take care. There you go.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Body Heat. So, you know, we're talking about this the sweatiest movies of all time here because obviously we're in an extreme heat wave here for the next couple of days. But the it's funny that Body Heat is mentioned because this topic itself right here, what are the sweatiest movies ever made, was actually discussed by the characters on an episode of Cheers. So there was an episode of Cheers where all the regulars were there, and they were talking about the sweatiest movies of all time. You know, Cliff, Norm, all the guys. I think that was a Coach episode. It was a Coach episode, not a Woody episode. And Sam and everybody in the bar talking about the sweatiest movies of all time. And what's really funny about it is that I can't remember who it is. It might be Sam himself mentions Body Heat. And what's hilarious about that is that Ted Danson is in Body Heat. So it was kind of this weird kind of meta joke that they went for, and it got you know what, I think it was Norm who said Body Heat. I'm pretty sure it was Norm who said Body Heat, and I think Sam agreed. He's like, oh yeah. And it got I mean, the audience, I think most of the audience probably didn't really kind of get it because, you know, Ted Danson, that was a, you know, Ted Danson had a supporting role in that movie, and most people remember Kathleen Turner and William Hurt from that movie mostly. Also one of the first movies to star Mickey Rourke. He plays the arsonist who gives William Hurt the device to set the fire. But yeah, that's an incredibly sweaty movie. But I love that moment in Cheers where they say Body Heat and there's one of the stars of Body Heat having a conversation. All right, according to Time Magazine, we're going to go first with In the Heat of the Night, directed by Norman Jewison, Sidney Poitier, Rod Steiger, Warren Oates, Lee Grant, a classic. Classic movie.
They Call Me Mr. Tibbs.
That's exactly right. Great roles for everybody. Everybody's great in this movie. And then it goes on to be a very successful television series with Carol O'Connor. Here's what they say about it. Well, it's all in the title, isn't it? On his way home to Philadelphia, homicide detective Virgil Tibbs is dragooned by police chief Gillespie in an Oscar-winning role to sweat out a murder case in the small town of Sparta, Mississippi. Released in 1967, the year race riots tore across America, Tibbs must brave all kinds of heat, thugs with chains, his temporary colleagues' contempt in the claustrophobic small town, to find some answers. Though Tibbs, in a black suit and tie that hardly can go askew for much of the film, looks as cool as a cucumber, Gillespie and the other residents of Sparta can't help but wear a light sheen of sweat and desperation. So, In the Heat of the Night. That's the first one that Time Magazine lists. So we want to hear from you guys. What are the sweatiest movies of all time? 312-981-7200. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing tonight?
All right. What's up?
Hey, how about Airplane with Robert Hayes? Uh-huh. The controls.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, the whole movie's not sweaty, but there is the when he's landing the plane, all the sweat pouring out of him. That's a hilarious scene. That is,
that was a hot day at work.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Tom, thanks, man.
All right,
and stay cool. Everybody stay cool. All right, why don't we take a break here? We got the news coming up, and then we'll jump back into us. We're getting a bunch of texts. We want to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. We're trying to embrace this heat and have some fun with it as we stay cool and talk about the sweatiest movies of all time. 312-981-7200. And again, after 2 o'clock, the lovely Esmeralda Leon will be here, and it'll be nice to be back on the air with her and all the regular Friday features as well. 312-981-7200. Talk, text, sweatiest movies of all time. Having some fun with that. We'll take a break for the news, which is after this.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago, where it is hot. And it's going to be hot all weekend. As Ryan said, stay hydrated, stay inside if you can in the air conditioning. If you have to be outside, limit it. Everybody take care of yourself if you're going to Wrigley Field at some point this weekend. But we're here live on WGN, and my good friend Esmeralda Leon is going to rejoin the show. We're going to hang out with her between 2 and 5. She's going to be a part of all the regular Friday features as well. It's always great to have Esmeralda on the show, so she'll be back. But right now we're talking about the sweatiest movies of all time. We're kind of embracing the heat right here and having some fun with it with this conversation. And we've got a bunch of texts, and Time Magazine put together their list, but everybody's got their opinions because the phone lines are lighting up and the texts are flying in. Joliet Mike says, sweatiest movie conversation reminds me of the pilot episode of Cheers. So it was the pilot then. Okay. They had a similar conversation during that episode. Yeah, I knew it was a coach. I knew it was a coach episode. I didn't know it was the pilot, but that's pretty funny. Ted Danson's in body heat. He picks, Joliet Mike picks Cool Hand Luke. We'll get to that one in a little bit. Absolutely. And also the eggiest movie ever made. I love hard-boiled eggs, but that movie almost made me put off hard-boiled eggs. That's such a great movie, man. I mean, you know, that was at the time. Nobody was cooler on the planet than Paul Newman at that time, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
plus he's got that really good ranch.
He's just,
and the sauce.
Well, and everything went to charity.
Exactly.
He did not make a dime on Newman's Own. Not a dime. He
and
raised
it was good stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. It's still great stuff.
Still is. Yeah.
But and he never made a profit on that stuff. Never made a dime. He was an amazing guy, Paul Newman.
What was the Hitchcock movie that he was in?
Torn Curtain. Yeah.
I think is underrated.
I think it's underrated, too.
Torn Curtain is very good.
Yeah, that's also a sweaty movie.
Super sweaty.
All right, let's get back to it. Here's Lisa on WGN. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good, thank you.
All right, stay cool
like
this weekend.
I like Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Oh, yeah, peeking Paul Newman.
Yes, that's right.
Is that
meant? Poor Earl Ives, he's got that three-piece suit on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Through the whole movie.
Yeah. No. You know what? I'm sensing a pattern. Maybe Paul Newman stars in the most sweaty movies ever made.
Well, he was in The Long Hot Summer too.
Yes, he was. Yes, he
with
was.
His wife, and that was really sweaty as well.
As well. Wow. All right. I think we're discovering a pattern here this morning. All right, Lisa.
There
stay cool.
All
okay.
Right. Bye.
Bye. There we go. Here's Anthony on WGN. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
Oh, man. Eggy and sweaty would be the Rocky movies.
All the Rocky movies, yeah. Especially
all the Rocky movies.
In the fight scene, you know, they get hit with one punch, sweat goes flying in slow motion. That's
yep, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. All right, Anthony.
See you, guys.
Take care. All right, here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How are you doing?
All right, what's up?
12 Angry Men.
Oh yeah, that's on the Time. Yeah. That's on the Time magazine list as well. We'll get to their explanation on that one. That's a
it is.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, the air conditioning doesn't work, and
heat on different levels.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Now the original with Henry Fonda is fantastic. But have you seen the Showtime remake that William Friedkin directed, Glenn?
No, I did not.
Oh, you got to see it. It's great. Listen to this cast. This is who's in it. In 12 Angry Men, which was remade and directed by the great William Friedkin. Courtney B. Vance, Ossie Davis, George C. Scott, Aram Mueller-Stahl, Dorian Harewood, James Gandolfini, Tony Danza, Hume Cronin, Michael T. Williamson, Edward James Olmos, William Peterson, and Jack Lemmon. That's a cast.
Perfect. Casting.
Yeah, no, it is great. And George C. Scott has the Lee J. Cobb role.
Okay.
And Lemon Lemon has the Henry Fonda role. It is fantastic. It is really, really good.
I'll look it up.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn.
All right. Have a nice weekend.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I love the Sidney Lumet version. The original is fantastic. I love it. I love the play. I think the play is great. But, man, the Friedkin. Yeah, when I had Friedkin on, I've interviewed Friedkin a couple of times, mm-hmm. when I had Friedkin on and I mentioned how much I love 12 Angry Men, it's one of his favorite things that he's ever done. I was like, I mean, you heard that cast.
Oh, yeah. And that's the best part about 12 Angry Men is that you can keep doing that play, that story, and it's still great.
My friend was in a production of 12 Angry Men mm-hmm. back in, I want to say, 92 with Jon Favreau.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He played the foreman.
Man, I got so close to being in a room with William Friedkin. He was supposed to come in and chat with Dean one time, and I was shaking. I couldn't. I thought I was going to explode into
flames. I've not met him face-to-face. I've had him on the show over the phone twice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, just an amazing interview. And, you know, he's directed so many iconic movies. Yeah.
To live and die in L.A. is pretty sweaty.
To live and die in L.A. is very sweaty. Yeah.
Wasn't the concept of Summer of Sam that it was like the hottest day in New York in 1977?
There you go, Ryan. Exactly. And it was Summer of Sam, and it was during the blackout. It was during the New York blackout. Here's the weird thing, Ryan. I'm sure you knew this because you were covering the news. July 13th, when the lights went out in Midtown just this past week, that's the exact date that they went out in 1977.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the same date. But yeah, Summer of Sam, that's a great one, man. That is a great one. But you know what? Spike Lee likes to make sweaty movies. He did Do the Right Thing.
That's right.
Yeah, which is one of the sweatiest movies ever made.
It sure is.
Yeah. Let's see. Body Heat should be on the list. 815 area code. 847 area code says Cool Hand Luke from Trucker Ernie. Robert Hayes in Airplane. We got another vote for that. Let's see. Rocky and Deliverance. Oh, Deliverance. Yeah.
Very sweaty.
Yeah. That movie's uncomfortable in many ways. 504 area. You know what? Hey, do you know that the guy who says he sure got a purty mouth? You know that the guy in Deliverance who says that?
Mm-hmm.
He was a friend of Burt. He was a stuntman friend of Burt Reynolds from his stuntman days.
Boy, you got a purty mouth.
The 1975 version of The Great Gatsby. 504 area code. Sam Waterston and Robert Redford were drenched in almost every scene. Well, you know, it's only fair that Robert Redford stars in a sweaty movie if Paul Newman's going to star in so many of them.
Well, yeah. And Paul Newman, I mean, The Hustler, that's a sweaty movie.
Oh, my God, yes.
They're drenched.
Yes, they are. Wow. That's also one of the drunkest movies ever made, too.
It really is.
I mean, there is a lot of drinking in that movie. He and Piper Laurie just get smashed mm-hmm. throughout that entire film. Let's see. Here is Doc. Hey, Doc.
Hey.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to let you know, Doc, we got the R. Crumb posters. I know that you mentioned about them. We got them. I forgot to mention the last time you called.
All right. So don't be calling Tommy Toilet.
Yeah, exactly. And we thank you for that, Doc. That was nice.
All right. Hey, maybe not the whole movie, but at least one scene, Midnight Express, when William Hayes is about to get on the plane.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
he's
sweating pretty bad. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
All right, Doc, thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Yep, Midnight Express. You've not seen Midnight Express, right?
I have not seen Midnight Express.
Oh, man, you have to rectify that.
There are many things. I mean,
it's Alan Parker, man.
Well, I told you that Alan Parker, I only really knew him from The Wall and The Commitments.
Yeah.
And I don't think
I told you about Bugsy Malone. You got to see that. Did I tell you? I told you about Shoot the Moon, right? Alec Finney and Diane Keaton. He's directed a lot of great movies.
Yeah.
708 area code says, I would say Rambo First Blood Part 2 is a sweaty movie because Murdoch is such a sweaty, backstabbing pig. Murdoch, I'm coming to get you.
I just love at the end, it just shoots up the entire...
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Like,
he blows up all of Vietnam. Like, all of Vietnam gets blown up in that.
Yeah. A bit of revisionist history for everybody in a way.
Yeah. Oh, you know there's a great scene involving sweat? Like a really intense, crazy scene involving sweat? The flashback scene in Blowout.
Yeah.
Where the cover cop is wired. And it burns him because he's sweating so much. That is a great scene.
Oof.
All of that movie. Every frame of that movie is amazing. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's, I think, Brian De Palma's best work. 312 area code says, the first Mission Impossible movie looked sweaty, specifically the ceiling scene. Yeah, well, the sweat that's pouring off, that's coming off of Tom Cruise, he's got to catch it. Because if it hits the ground, the alarm goes off. That's a great scene. Speaking of Brian De Palma. Book of Eli and Fury Road. Yeah, Fury Road, man. Sure. Very sweaty movie. All right, how about this? On the Time magazine list here, this is a great one. Rear Window. James Stewart, Grace Kelly. Hold up with a broken leg. Photojournalist LB Jeff Jeffries is confined to his small courtyard apartment, and it is surely hot. Luckily for him, his two perfect other half, Lisa Fremont, the never lovelier Grace Kelly, is on hand to help out the sticky situation. Meanwhile, Jeff begins wielding his binoculars and telephoto lens to observe the comings and goings and possible murder at the other courtyard apartments. Everyone else is trying to beat the heat. One neighbor sunbathes, another dances in her apartment wearing a bare minimum. An older couple dragged their mattress onto the fire escape to sleep. Even a storm can't wash away the stickiness. You'd think the rain would have cooled things down, says Jeff's physical therapist, the great Thelma Ritter. All it did was make the heat wet, she said. That's what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Heck, that's what happened today.
That's what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
What are you? Now I'm you catching Ryan Burroughs?
Now I'm confused. What am I supposed to do?
Ryan, get out. Get out of that newsroom.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Okay, today is Friday. Let's get that straight.
Friday.
All right, here's Marvin on WGN. Hey, Marvin.
By the way, first of all, you mentioned Thelma Ritter, Pick Up on South Street, one of my favorite movies of all time.
She was unbelievable. I loved her, man. She's great. She was great in everything. But she is hilarious in Rear Window. I mean,
no, she's just like the real deal. Like you, Nick. In fact, I'm visiting from Florida, and I listen to you in the morning in Florida in the Tampa Bay area.
Oh.
And that's why I'm here in Chicago right now at a hotel here in the Loop. And we read about all the dangerous heat and saw the dangerous heat. But you know what? In Florida, it just seemed like another day.
You know, I got to tell you,
it wasn't all that hot. And I think the rain this morning kept it from getting really, really hot. But trust me, Florida is hotter. Now, we don't have any vortex or anything, but we do have heat and humidity for sure.
Oh, yeah. And did you bring it with you? Is that what happened, Marvin? You brought the Florida heat?
I did. It's in the trunk. And by the way, speaking of heat, the movie, to me, that's all about heat and, in fact, tempers boil at the end, it's so hot.
Yeah.
And the film, the color is so saturated, Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, absolutely one of the sweatiest movies ever made, one of the hottest movies ever made.
I love your show, Nick.
Thanks,
and I
Marvin.
Love being in Chicago. My first time here, we're going to come back. And it's funny, I can hear you better in Florida than I can in my hotel room.
And you're probably right down the street from us, man.
I am right down the street. I'm about a mile away.
All right. Marvin, have a good time while you're here, buddy.
He's got to come when there's snow here.
Appreciate
you. Okay. Yeah. He should come back when there's 15 inches of snow and it's 26 below.
Then we'll see who's the big man.
Well, I got to say, people who are regular listeners of the show know that I cannot stand hot weather. Mm. I hate extreme weather of any kind. Like the polar vortex was ridiculous. But I would rather have cold weather than hot weather. I just can't stand it. That's just why I'm staying with my parents this weekend. I have one window unit in my bedroom. I'm not going to stay in my bedroom the entire weekend. So, all right, let's take a break, shall we? And we'll come back. We got more sweaty movies to talk about. And after 2 o'clock, the great Esmeralda Leon will be rejoining the show here for the rest of the remainder of the show here on this Friday morning. It was amazing last month at Anderson's Candy Shop's 100th anniversary party, and the Andersons want to thank you personally for coming out and celebrating a century of family business. Third, fourth, and fifth generations of friends and fans all together. It was truly amazing, and the Anderson family and staff are overwhelmed with gratitude. But don't worry if you missed out, because summer fun with Anderson's Candy Shop has just begun. Every Thursday, visit Anderson's Barrington location and catch cruise nights while you fill up on habanero truffles, s'more bars, and maple sugar pralines, or hit up Richmond on Friday nights. And pair your classic cars with Anderson salted caramels and those unbeatable peanut butter creams. Plus, don't forget to mark your calendars for the Lake County Fair on July 24th through the 29th. And as if the chocolates weren't enough, Anderson's Candy Shop makes incredible mini donuts, malts, and sundaes all week at the Lake County Fair. Visit AndersonsCandyShop.com for a full lineup because of the summer fun. Nothing beats these treats. You know, I gotta say this, Tom. You have no idea how huge the first Asia album was when I was in high school. It was massive. Everybody, I was a junior in high school when that album came out, and everybody had it. That Back in Black was another one. AC/DC Back in Black. Everybody had that record. But man, the first Asia record.
Yeah,
which,
man,
which I love. I love the first Asia album. I think it's great. But yeah, that's very 80s.
Did you frame an Asia poster?
No, I did not. But that's one of my favorite jokes in 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's absolutely hilarious.
Did they have Spencer's have gifts?
Yeah, man. But it was such a big album. It was everywhere. So, coming up, we got Justin's in for Steve this morning, right? Justin Kaufman
Correct,
is in for
yeah.
Steve this morning. So that's coming up at 6. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, we'll get back to the conversation about sweaty movies. And the next one that Time mentions is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is the movie where I realized what acting was. And that's Dog Day Afternoon, which is a very sweaty movie because they turn the air conditioning off in the bank and it's a very hot August day. Pacino, John Cazale, Charles Durning.
John Cazale is...
You know, John Cazale died young and very unfortunately. He had cancer and he died in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the five movies he's in. John Cazale. These are the five movies that John Cazale is in. He's in The Godfather. He's in The Godfather Part 2. He's in The Conversation. He's not in The Conversation. Yeah, he is in The Conversation. Sorry. He's in Godfather Part 2, The Conversation, Dog Day Afternoon, Deer Hunter.
So he basically just bats. It's 1,000. It's a perfect game.
There's not a non-4-star movie on that list.
And the kind of love story between him and Meryl Streep so tragic.
Yeah.
Is so tragic.
Yeah. So, but Dog Day Afternoon, one of my favorite movies. That's the movie where I went, acting. But you know, actually, the very first time I realized what actors did. I mean, the Dog Day Afternoon was the movie where I saw, like, in my opinion, a pinnacle of acting. Like, you know what I mean? That's just like that's the greatest example of film acting, I think, that you can see. Every single performance is unbelievable in it. Chris Sarandon, incredible. And Lance Hendrickson's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Hendrickson shoots Sonny. I've yelled at him about that, and I'll yell at him in a couple of weeks. But the very first time I kind of went, because when I was a little kid, I kind of realized what acting was the very first time I ever saw Gene Stapleton on a talk show, Edith Bunker. And so I had never seen her on a talk show before. I had only seen her on All in the Family as Edith. And when she was, you've heard Gene Stapleton talk.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Gene Stapleton was on Mike Douglas, and I heard her talk, and I went, oh, because she doesn't sound anything like Edith Bunker at all. Just like when you freaked out about Stephanie Beatrice.
Well, yeah. It's just one of those weird moments.
Yeah.
Or even when I realized that Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
Because even though my dad, you know, he's British, we didn't really watch a lot of Fry and Laurie. We did watch Blackadder, but I never realized that was the same person.
I know. Isn't it crazy? And he had done nothing but comedy until House.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was hilarious. He's still hilarious.
Yeah.
But like when he did House, it was like, that's a little weird that this guy was known for doing absolute nothing but comedy.
Nothing but foppish comedy.
Yeah. Dog Day Afternoon, just an exquisite movie. The great Sidney Lumet. Jeez, some of the movies that guy's directed. All right, let's see here. Here's Roosevelt on WG. And hi, Roosevelt.
Nick,
hey.
Thank you for taking my call, brother.
You got it, man.
Automatically, when you mentioned Paul Newman, automatically comes to mind Long Hot Summer.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Yeah, we were just discussing how many sweaty movies that Paul Newman has been in, and he's been in several.
Yeah, and Orson Welles is just perfect in that. Picnic also comes to mind.
Yeah.
And Lilies of the Field.
Another Poitier movie with sweat in it. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Roosevelt. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. Here's Paula on WGN. Hi, Paula.
Hi. Well, I thought of a third one while I was waiting.
All right.
But first of all, we all have to agree that Paul Newman is the hottest and the coolest actor ever.
He's way up there, Paula. He's way, way up there. One of my favorite things about Paul Newman is that they asked him what his favorite role was, and it wasn't The Verdict, and it wasn't The Sting, and it wasn't, you know, it was Slapshot. His favorite movie performance was Slapshot, and I always find that fantastic. Reggie Dunlop. Slapshot's a great movie. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Paula.
But anyway, he said Tom Hombre, which I love.
Oh, sure.
Hombre he sweated to me. Everybody sweated there.
Yeah.
Then you have the car trunk with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, and Out of Sight. Out of Sight. A terrific movie. That's a terrific movie. That was before, that was when we were all fooled by Jennifer Lopez.
Well,
she was good at that time, you know?
Yeah, I think she's still got some good in her. And last, a favorite of yours, I know, and a favorite of mine is, I thought of A Face in the Crowd. I mean,
oh, sure.
Out sweating, and man, it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. Okay, Paula, thanks.
Good night.
Face in the Crowd. So, oh, my God. Yeah, that movie. Plays pretty strangely today.
That it does. It really...
You watch that movie today, it's like, ay, ay, ay. Andy Griffith, man. That's a great movie, but I haven't watched it in a while. It'd be a little difficult to watch that movie now, I think. I think it would be a little difficult.
I always have a hard time watching anything with Andy Griffith, because, yeah, not that I don't love him, but he, my grandfather was a spitting image of him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It was so weird how much he looked like Andy Griffith.
Wow.
So whenever I see him, I'm just like, oh, there's Granddad. He's my namesake, Granddad Tom.
Matlock! All right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up, and then Esmeralda Leon is going to join us live in studio and have some fun for the rest of the show. And we got the news after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, so that means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. We'll start those at around 4 a.m., and that means we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. We played that song particularly because of our guest who's just here, and it's Esmeralda Leon. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good, good, good.
It's a good song.
We did. Yes, I know. I know how you feel.
Although not so happy today. It was pouring rain all this morning. It was horrendous.
Yeah, it was, and it didn't cool anything off either.
Right, it made it worse.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, I was like, do I live in 1857 London town now?
Yeah.
Because it was so dark and gloomy.
Yeah. I slept through it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, us working people.
Well, Nick. I work. I just work at this time. You used to work at this time. Esmeralda did traffic on the show for a few years, and it was always great. And it's always great to have you back. So you've been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been doing well.
Yeah. You had a. You guys had a you, me, them, everybody, didn't you?
Yes, we had last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It went over quite well. We had. We, oddly enough, we had Patty Vasquez running for state senator.
Yes.
Mike Centino, I mean, he's a comic.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Not a comic. He's an illustrator.
Yeah, I know who, I know who he is, yeah.
And we also had, it was I can't remember his name, but Swanberg, who's related to the...
The filmmaker?
Yes.
Joe Swanberg.
And he told, so it was his brother.
Oh, his brother. Oh, his Joe brother. Swanberg's brother.
He plays music.
Okay.
I'm being terrible because I can't remember his name, so you can't look for him.
Okay.
But we had a whole conversation because I guess Mike Centino was also on Easy at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so we were, me and Brandon Weatherby, the host, were pretty much the only ones who had not been on Easy.
Oh.
I was like, does the whole audience in Easy as well?
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
But how long was Brandon in town? Just for the night?
Just for, I think he was there a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do it at the Brain?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a good time.
Is there another one coming up anytime soon?
I have no idea.
So that's...
He literally just, I always hear about them like a couple months before.
Right.
So I haven't heard about one yet. I know his lovely wife is pregnant.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
So How far along is she?
She's due in August.
Oh, boy.
So I know I probably won't hear from him for a
bit. Yeah, no, that's not good. I don't think you guys are going to be hanging out too much.
He'll be busy.
Yeah, he'll be a little busy. Well, good for him. Tell him I said congratulations.
Will do.
That's awesome. Oh, all right. So how's V?
V is good.
Yeah.
V was, what was he? Oh, we were watching Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So now we just started watching.
I still haven't started watching
I mean,
it. And I know
he
I'm...
turned it on and I started watching. I haven't seen the second season.
Oh, but see, one of the reasons why I'm slow to start the third one is because I wasn't crazy about the second season.
Oh, okay.
I love the first season.
Right.
But I wasn't, I thought the second season was not nearly as good as the first. So
okay.
That's why I'm not as excited to get started.
No, he was in the same boat.
Yeah.
He did not think it was that great. And so he was a little reluctant, but then we watched that first episode and he was getting into it. So,
he's liking this episode, this season better than the second one.
So I may or may not find him still watching Stranger Things when I get home, or he's asleep.
Yeah,
one or the other.
Okay,
because that's what we do. We just binge watch.
Yeah. TV. Well, what have you been watching lately?
I actually just started watching Hannah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
With Saoirse?
Yes.
Saoirse Ronan.
I think I did.
Part. Yeah, it's a terrific movie.
I don't know if I like this.
I haven't seen the series. I just know I like the movie. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I'm not excited about the series is because I love Saoirse so much.
Right, because it'll, you know, in a way, yeah, you'll just keep comparing.
Exactly.
Like, well, she wouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a little slow, but I kind of enjoy it. There's a whole aspect to it of her just trying to figure out life and teenage things and kid things and human things.
Instead of, like, just her being an assassin and a badass?
Right, because, you know, she lived in the middle of nowhere with no one except her father or whatever. So she has no idea, like, how humans interact and how all of that. So it's kind of interesting to watch that side of it.
All right. Anything else?
What else?
You've seen any movies?
No. Wait, did I?
I bet it was really good then.
I think I watched Fleabag, but I think I watched that.
That's a good show.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that she also wrote Killing Eve.
Yes.
And I love that too.
She's great. She's incredibly talented. Fleabag got some Emmy nominations.
I saw
And so
that.
Did Killing Eve. Both actresses got nominated for Killing Eve. I know Sandra Oh, she was nominated last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the other actress wasn't, but they're both nominated this year.
Oh, that's nice.
Which makes sense, because they're both phenomenal in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, there's a lot of shows that I was watching, and they've all come back, but I can't watch them because they're on network.
Oh.
They're on cable, or they're on something. Yeah. So I have to wait for them to come on to, like, Amazon or whatever.
Or the streaming.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever the streaming is, I have to wait.
Well, okay. Well,
so I can't watch the second season of Killing Eve. I watched the first season of Pose. Can't watch the second.
Yeah.
Because it's all on stream. I have to wait.
Yeah. I'm watching Baskets as usual.
Right.
And it's, oh God, it's so funny.
I need to watch the first season.
You really?
First season.
I think you do. Because it's such a great show. And you know, Louis Anderson is amazing on it. But yeah, no, it's great. And it's just as good as it has been. And FX has had, you know, quite a couple of years under their belts, because they had the Sam Rockwell, Michelle Williams, and Fosse Verdon. Which was unbelievable.
That was good.
It was so, so good. And they had a cameo, because, you know, they were basically, like, covering pretty much their lives together and apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they included an episode about the making of All That Jazz.
I'm sure. Did you then record it and keep it so your dad could watch it?
I told my dad you would hate it so much. But the great thing was the episode where it was about All That Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
An uncredited surprise cameo as Roy Scheider, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, fun.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. Like, I was like, I wonder who's going to play Roy Scheider. And I thought maybe it would be a no-name actor, somebody that maybe looks like Roy Scheider.
Yeah,
and it was him. I was like, okay.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it was cool. All right. Well, do you know of any sweaty movies, Esmeralda? Hot movies. We were talking, like, Do the Right Thing and
right.
And
God, the only thing I can think of is from your movie club, The Longest Yard.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. That's
they're pretty sweaty. I mean, they're playing football in the southern sun.
That's good. That's a good one. Yeah, that one hasn't been brought up. We've been talking about some of the other ones, like we were just talking about Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah,
which is a very sweaty movie.
Mm-hmm.
Body Heat's come up.
Mm-hmm.
Rear Window.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's, you know, he's sweating the whole time when he's sitting there in his wheelchair.
You know, I think what else has a sweaty scene is Fatal Instinct.
Of course,
I just remembered that.
I was wondering when you were going to bring up your Comedy Central basic cable comedy.
It was just on this.
Yeah. Oh, it was on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You can catch it on this now.
Have the Corsican brothers been on?
No.
Okay.
No.
I love that that's, like, the only Cheech and Chong movie that you've seen.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Is Corsican Bride.
I'll see. If there's ever a Cheech and Chong marathon on, I will sit down and watch.
Oh, you have to. You have to.
Hopefully the Corsican Brothers is first.
Oh, God. I remember seeing that movie in the theater, just be like, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
Not good.
It's terrible. Hey, by the way, Slap Slaply's on the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the British.
I didn't think I'd see him again.
British game show host Slap Slapley. He's on the way here.
Very good.
In his Learjet, he'll land on the roof of 303.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to play around it for the record.
Very nice.
So here are some of the other ones that Time Magazine put a list together of the sweatiest movies. They did. And we thought since we're going through a heat wave, we could have some fun
How many minds were put together to get this list?
I have no idea, but it's Time Magazine, so you know it's serious.
There's a whole boardroom of people.
How about this one? Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah?
Absolutely. One of the sweatiest movies of all time. God, I love that movie. The first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I can't even tell you how much I love it. All right, here's some texts.
Mm-hmm.
Caribbean Bob.
All right. Is everyone just jump? All the Bobs are like, I need a thing in front of my name.
I guess
now.
Caribbean Bob says the movie Das Boot, very sweaty with the German sailors in the sun. Yeah, and it's a submarine movie, which means I like it.
Oh, that's right.
Well, it's Tom. I don't think I've ever told you this. We've been working together for some months now.
Wow, it hasn't come up.
I guess it hasn't come up. I love every submarine movie ever made.
So you're K-19.
I love K-19. That's Catherine Bigelow, my man.
He even loves Periscope Down.
Down Periscope.
Well, everybody needs to love Down Periscope.
I love.
That's very.
I love all
Kelsey
submarine
Grammer.
Movies.
Oh.
I'm trying to think. So
I love Kelsey Grammer.
Hunt for Red October.
Love it.
Obvious. I really can't think. Hunter Killer? Did you like Hunter Killer?
I did like Hunter Killer because it's a submarine movie.
There's really
even though
not
Gerard
enough.
Butler is in there. No, wait a minute. You're forgetting about Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman punching each other in the face for 2 hours.
Oh, wait. Which one is that?
Crimson. Red. Oh, Crimson Tide. Yeah.
Crimson Tide, yeah.
You need to
That's
get...
how my friend describes that movie. Crimson Tide, as, hey, what was that movie where Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington are punching each other in the face for 2 hours?
Have you seen the miniseries version of Das Boot yet?
No.
They did that for Hulu.
I liked... You ever see the movie Below?
No.
With the haunted submarine?
There's a haunted...
I mean, come on.
What about the McConaughey?
Is it 271?
The Russian submarine, and they can't figure it out because it's in Russian and they're Americans?
That's Hunt for Red October.
That's Hunt for Red October.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With Sean Connery, the Scottish-Russian.
Right. All right, we got a break here. But yeah, that just is a thing that we've... Yellow Submarine?
No one likes Yellow Submarine.
I love Yellow Submarine. What are you talking about? How do you not like Yellow Submarine?
Because I'm feeling attacked.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You should be.
I wasn't super into it. Jeez,
wow.
Man.
Don't take no. Wait, do you prefer Magical Mystery Tour over Yellow Submarine? Because Magical Mystery Tour,
that's for sure. I do
the
not.
Most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen in my life.
No, I like A Hard Day's Night and I like Help.
All right. You guys, you're not like Yellow Submarine.
It's adorable.
Damn blue meanies. I don't
know. Lord. All right. We got a break here. We'll talk a little more sweaty movies. We're catching up with Esmeralda. We're going to play a little for the record. And Esmeralda, I have some unbelievable facts about aluminum foil.
What? All right.
I wish he was or kidding.
Aluminum
foil.
Slap Slapley would say
as
it.
Slap Slapley would say it, yes. All right. We'll take a break here. Is this from the second or the first Beverly Hills Cop?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not much of a Beverly Hills Cop person.
Yeah.
I just know this song.
Second one,
I think it's the second one.
Because the first one was the theme.
It was Axel F.
It was that, and it was also the Pointer Sisters had a song on the soundtrack, too, in the first one. There was another hit off of the first album.
Probably, yes.
But The Heat Is On. That's Glenn Frey, man.
Mm.
Oh, see, I was thinking it was Richard Marx. I don't know why. No idea why.
I could understand that time period, you know, that kind of thing. That's Esmeralda Leon, everybody, huh?
Woo!
Yeah.
I was going to say, were you expecting, like, applause? Like, someone going, yeah.
Well, normally we have, like, 60,000 people in studio.
Right.
We do, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially on Wednesday morning, we play this game called Know Your Onion.
Mm. It's in front of a live studio audience.
Where, the 60,000 people are in here. Mm-hmm. And the idea of Know Your Onions, Tom came up with the idea, was Tom will read to a listener, he will read news headlines, and you have to guess whether they're real or from The Onion.
Oh, I was really hoping it was just guessing, like, types of onions.
Types of onion.
I give Nick just a little sample.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, that's, is that,
That's a green onion.
This is a Vidalia.
Yeah.
It's a little sweet.
Sweaty movies is what we're talking about in this heat wave that we're having this weekend. 815 area code says, how about Thelma and Louise? A lot of sweat in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out in the middle of the desert.
Oh, Hot Shots.
Come on.
Which one? That one or Part Deux?
No, the one where they do the 9.5 weeks.
Is it
the first one? Because he puts the egg.
On her stomach and it sizzles. The egg
fries.
Sizzles. That's right. Carl, who was the lead? Valeria, oh man, from Rain Man. She was the lead in that.
Yeah. I only bring it up because I just saw the Top Gun
trailer.
Trailer.
I haven't seen
Maverick.
It yet, by the way. Speaking of trailers.
Yes.
Good Lord. Have you seen the trailer for Cats?
I only saw the thing where they're just talking about how excited they all are to be in Cats.
It's horrifying. It's nightmare-inducing. It's horrifying.
Had you seen the musical or anything?
Yeah, but it's like CG. They look like CG'd cats and stuff.
Oh, they're just not painted up real nice?
No. It's going to cause nightmares. And on top of that, the musical sucks on top of it.
Oh.
So... But, like, Jennifer Hudson, is it Idris Elba? Is it cat? Taylor Swift, and they're all CG'd and weird.
Oh, maybe I do want to go see this.
Oh, it's horrifying. The trailer, I swear to you, man, I watched the trailer, and I'm like, this is scarier than Bitten Midsummer.
Well, you know what? It's better than the emotionless animals from Lion King.
Yeah.
They're just animals.
Yeah.
Singing.
I know.
There's no emotion.
No, not at all. Not at all. How about 815 area code? Sweaty movie, Maximum Overdrive. That's a Stephen King adaptation of a short story he wrote called Trucks, and it's where all the machines come to life and kill people.
Is it Transformers?
No. Like actual, can openers and stuff killing people.
Is that
cars
Simpsons?
Going nuts.
Okay.
And yeah. Emilio Estevez is your lead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Jason says, how about Ace Ventura 2 when he's sweating in the rhino? Sweating in the rhino.
Yeah.
That is one
is
of
that
the funniest.
Sweat? Is that sweat or just,
That's one of the fun. I got to tell you something. That scene where he's inside that rhino and then comes out of the back of the rhino is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And it's so gross and so funny.
I let my kids watch a little bit of Ace Ventura.
Oh, boy.
And at one point I had to turn to them and explain why this crazy guy was funny, and I realized I had this same conversation with my parents 20 years before.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I was going to ask if your kids are not talking out of their butts.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Ace Ventura. I was a little put off by its content, though. I remember going to see it thinking it was going to be a kid's movie, and then, when he's receiving oral sex within the first 5 minutes of the movie, I was like, what?
They won't get that. That's for the adults, right?
I love the slinky bit from when they...
The funniest bit in Ace Ventura, which is a movie that I've, when I lived with Oaken, we watched that movie nonstop.
That and Mambo Kings?
That and Mambo Kings were on the top of the list. Tom never heard the Mambo Kings. He didn't know. Tom just lost it.
So many stories.
We were obsessed. I'm telling you, Tom, Oaken and I, when we lived together, we watched Mambo Kings 9,000 times. That was a movie, we'd come home from the bar and we'd be like, Mambo Kings.
Dude, you got a condition. Mambo Kings?
It's a great movie, man. But anyway, the funniest moment in Ace Ventura, of which there are many, and my favorite is the sliding door. When he walks outside and closes the sliding door. Every single time I fall off the couch laughing.
My kids were dying at that scene. One thing they thought was funny.
Oh, it's the funniest thing. I think it's the funniest thing in the entire movie, which is a very funny movie. All right, hold on a second. There are some people who are calling in and want to say hi to Esmeralda.
Oh.
And if you want to text in and say hi to Esmeralda, she's here till 5. We're going to break for the news, which is coming up after this.
Fire.
Yeah, man. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are going to be happening. Straight Out of Context, Nick D shows by You Big Dummies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday with DJ Luscious Hushes. And Esmeralda the Heart Melda will be here for Fly Jam Friday. Esmeralda Leon is here. We couldn't be more excited. It's always great to have you back.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to play a round of For the Record. I understand that Slap Slaply is about a half an hour away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's quick. Where was he?
Nam.
Oh. I hope he got some good pho.
Yeah. Well, man. I was close to the panic, but I was almost at the dump button.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, I don't work here anymore. I don't work here anymore. I can say whatever the hell I want.
What are you thinking? Wow. I'm thinking of delicious Vietnamese food.
Gotcha. All right. Look at this. Roger in Manitoba wants to say hi to Esmeralda. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, buddy?
All right. What's up?
Oh, Esmeralda, I miss you, dear.
Oh,
when I started listening to the show, I'm a talk radio guy, and the interaction between you guys was amazing. And one of my best bits also was, would Esmeralda buy that?
We're going to have to do that one night when she comes back. Tom, you can set that up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We'll do it with Esmeralda buy that. And
you know, the other thing I always noticed was Esmeralda, she had two voices. She had the Esmeralda voice, but when she did traffic, she became very professional. All of a sudden, she's a different Esmeralda.
Talking about Mambo Kings. And...
Yeah, that's a little different. That's a little different. Roger, thanks for listening, man.
Yeah, thanks for letting me say hi to Esmeralda.
There you go.
I appreciate it, buddy. Bye-bye.
Right, there you go. Thanks, Roger.
We got to make sure Vic Vaughn's here for that.
Well, no, he has to be here. Yeah. This is the second time that Esmeralda's been here. Well, Vic's under the weather now.
I heard, yeah.
He just purposely took the night off the first time.
Yeah, I was going to say. Trying to avoid me, I see.
I don't know. I haven't seen his temperature, so I don't know if he's actually sick.
815 area code, some texts for you, Esmeralda. Hey, Esmeralda, good to hear you from Gale.
Oh.
Margaret in Bridgeport says, yay, Esmeralda is there. yay, Esmeralda from Pilsen.
Nice.
And then hello to Esmeralda. It's so nice to hear her laugh. How's her cat? How's Smokey?
She's good.
Yeah?
I just I put a collar on her today, and she was real mad about it.
I would imagine.
Just for fun.
Oh, just to mess with the cat?
Yeah, there was one day I was like, you should probably wear a collar because I want to put a leash on her. So we've taken to letting her go onto the balcony. And one of the last times she like ran up to the neighbor's balcony to meowl at them. We need either a baby gate or a leash.
So tie the leash around the balcony pole or something. And so she can be out on the balcony.
Or I'll hold it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about cats. You know, they don't venture very far away. So you don't really have to worry about.
It's embarrassing that she's meowling at the neighbor's door.
See, my cat jailbreaks every time we open the door.
Uh-huh.
And runs out, and it drives me insane. But now there's a stray cat in the neighborhood, and they've been tangling, man.
Oh, no.
And there's been some tussling going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
What's your cat's name?
Harper. And, he's he's just a house cat, and he's tangling with these, these...
Harper is a tough kitty.
Where does Harper come from?
I don't know. My wife got him 15 years ago at a shelter in Northwest Indiana.
Does she like To Kill a Mockingbird?
I think that was the name of the cat initially. She didn't. She wasn't even creative. She just took the name that they gave.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The cat was already named. Yeah, that's the same with your cat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Smokey was already named.
Yeah.
There's nothing more difficult to the ears than hearing cats fight each other.
No, it's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Well, again, my cat, she just decided to go up to the third floor and just sit.
Do they have a cat up there?
I guess so. Splayed out in the corner of their door, their back door, and just wow.
And you got a big cat, right? Smokey's big.
She's a big girl.
Yeah.
She's a curvy girl.
Yeah. Not as big as Mr. Ruffle, the cat that I had with my ex-wife.
No.
We call Coconut Head.
She's got a lot of skin.
No, this was a fat cat.
Yeah.
Ruffle was a fat cat. And I used to call him, because his head was the size of a coconut. So we started calling him Coconut Head. And then for the rest of his life, he was Nut.
Oh.
And, he was a great cat, man. He hated me when I first started dating Heather.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, did he hate me. He attacked me at one point.
Yeah.
And
same with Smokey. She hated me.
Oh, man. But then he warmed up to me after a while.
Yeah, no, she's in love with him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same thing.
More so than man. I'm like, cool. You sit on his lap, not mine? Fine.
So does your cat's collar have a bell on it?
It does.
So you know where, because she, right?
Yeah, she.
If she goes climbing out on the window, you want to hear the bell and go, oh, she's out the window.
Right.
You know, they realize that, though, and then all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning come into the bedroom rattling the bell. That's what I've noticed.
That's the only problem.
Like, hey, wake up. It's time to wake up. I know what this thing does.
Oh, no. She'll just get on top of my face and just start.
My parents have a couple of cats.
Yeah.
And for a while, they had bells around their neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd spent the night over there a couple of times
mm-hmm.
all night long.
they get the zoomies.
Oh, yeah,
and
they start jumping around jumping up on top of the fridge, and you hear pots and pans flying across the room.
I had put a collar on her. I'd put that one on, but before it, I'd put on, V bought a collar in L.A. at the local PetSmart that was next to an In-N-Out because he thought he couldn't park in there unless he bought something. So he went into the PetSmart and bought an L.A. Dodgers collar.
Why? Because he was in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I was like, you probably didn't need to buy anything. He's like, so I don't get a ticket. I'm like, that's not how that works, but okay. So now we have an L.A. Dodgers
collar.
Did
he park there to go to the In-N-Out?
Yes.
There was no space.
It was lunchtime. It was busy.
Oh, my God. So we bought a cat collar so we could go to In-N-Out.
Yes. So now we have an L.A. Dodger. She got real mad about it when I put it on her.
Yeah, I bet.
She was not happy.
She's a Cubs fan.
Clearly, because she hated that thing.
Here's Sam on WGN. Hey, Sam.
Hi, how you doing, Nick?
Good. What's up?
I've never heard you at an elevated level until Esmeralda came back on the air. I swear to God.
Oh, all right. I'm terrible without Esmeralda is what you're saying.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
When are you marrying her?
What? No.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, yes. Sam, I think Sam's first of all, Sam just said that I suck without Esmeralda.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that.
Thank you, Sam.
Listen, as your producer, I think we need to have a meeting.
I don't understand this.
See, now when you said elevated, I'm thinking like elevated heart rate. I'm like, am I going to give him a heart attack?
I thought he meant when we moved to this building.
Oh, all right, because you are higher
up. Higher up. We're elevated from where we were. We're 11 stories higher than where we were across the street.
Yeah, the listeners are thinking like way past.
No, Sam just thinks I suck. That's all. Thanks for listening, Sam.
But he still listens. That's the thing.
I know. That's the thing. I've been doing this for a really long time, as you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there right now who can't stand me, but are listening.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Hate listen, love listen.
Oh, exactly.
Either way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. I don't care. The ratings are, the ratings are the ratings. And if you hate me, you're helping.
There you go.
So anyway, how about a sweaty movie with my main man? You know my
Keanu.
Well, boy, what a year he's having, huh?
Right.
My God. He made that cameo in that fantastic Asian romantic comedy.
Yes. I haven't seen it, but I need to watch it.
As himself?
Yeah.
John Wick 3?
Yeah, and they're doing the Bill and Ted?
They're doing Bill and Ted. John Wick 4 is ready. He killed it in Toy Story 4.
Oh, he's in Toy Story
4. Oh, my God. He's Duke Kaboom. Oh. He's a full-on Canadian.
Does he have an accent?
Not really.
Okay, good.
He sounds like Keanu, but he does like a deeper voice. He does like a deeper voice.
Right. Is he a Mountie?
No. Oh, okay. He's like an Evil Knievel stunt motorcycle guy.
Oh, that's cute. Loves motorcycles.
It's great. By the way, Toy Story 4 is, I mean, all Super of good. Those movies are great. All four of them are great. This one might not be the best or emotional, because you get emotional when you see these movies.
Oh, yeah.
I cried during Toy Story 4.
Yeah, yeah.
But without question, it's the funniest. Like, ridiculously funny. And you know why?
Why?
Well, first of all, it's just funny in general. Key and Peele are in it.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
maybe
my God.
They've decided we've let these people cry enough.
No, you cry in Toy Story 4.
Laugh.
You cry in Toy Story 4. You
but
do.
Not as much?
No, not like Toy Story 3.
Okay.
Good Lord.
Is that the one where they almost get incinerated?
Yes.
Yeah, no. Oh, I bawled.
And then they drop that. That's when they leave Andy?
Yeah, I cried a few times.
Oh, man. Ugh. Those damn Pixar movies.
I'm telling, maybe they're taking a turn and they're like, we're going to try to be more funny.
But they still, I mean, we cried in Toy Story.
I mean, they have to have the crying.
You have to have. It's Coco. Cried during Coco. Up?
Yeah, no.
Don't even get me started on Up. The first 15 minutes of that movie and I was like, And Inside Out?
I still haven't seen that, but I'm sure I will cry.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yeah.
No. I guarantee that you will cry. WALL-E made me cry.
It's got a stamp on it.
Yeah. Guaranteed to cry.
Guaranteed to make you cry.
That's Pixar. All right. Here's Gene on WGN. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good.
And the third person there, oh, my name, my mind is blank. I called in about the cats because I've had cats over the years, and sometimes that horrible screaming at each other oftentimes will come down to them facing off at each other and to see who is going to, you know, break
down
first. And they, yeah. And then they kind of back away from each other slowly, and they may not necessarily get into a fight. And although I used to let my dog out in the morning and the cat would be coming in after having been gone all night. So one time he's coming up the front stairs into the house and he's limping. And you can tell he's lost the fight the night before.
Oh.
So I take him, yeah. So I take him to the vet and he's got an infection in his leg from the fight. So the vet said, okay, now put a hot pack on him and he'll be better. And I guess he gave him an antibiotic too. So the cat is sitting in this soft, comfy chair, and I'm putting this hot pack on him all the time, or a warm pack, and he's making these noises at me, but I didn't realize till later he was growling, but he never struck out at me.
No,
isn't
so
that interesting?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, maybe the cat knew that you were helping him.
Right. He knew it, but he didn't like it.
He didn't like it, but he was like, maybe I'm going to feel better after this.
Sounded like he's rocky.
Yeah. All right, Gene, thanks for the call. Advice on some cat stuff here. 312. We're kind of all over the map this morning. By the way, Time to Kill. I was going to say
sweaty.
My main
Yeah,
man.
That's Sweaty.
Say this guy.
All right.
That's my main man.
Oh, I was hoping you
then
were going to
We went off on the Keanu.
The Sam Jackson.
We went off on the Keanu. No.
I mean, I don't think we can play
No, we
that.
Can't play that. Why? No, we can't. But that's a sweaty movie, A Time to Kill.
Yeah.
Speaking of Joel Schumacher, we were talking about Joel Schumacher earlier.
Courtroom scenes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
In the South. Very sweaty.
Very sweaty, yeah.
No one has air conditioning.
That was the big breakout role for McConaughey. I mean, he was...
Really?
Yeah, he had done Wooderson.
Okay.
You know, but the big leading man thing...
Right.
That's
a little more mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot more mainstream than...
Than Dazed and Confused.
And let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules are going to try to get you to follow. You just got to keep living, man.
L-I-V-I-N.
L. Oh, he's
hey, man.
Right.
You got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Now he's driving around
in
Cadillacs, right?
No. He's
what
got a muscle
it,
car. No, he's got a muscle car. Oh, you mean now. Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lincoln. No, he drives around in Lincoln. He made a movie called The Lincoln Lawyer. And
oh,
he was
go.
In the back seat of a Lincoln conducting his law.
And he's amazing at pool.
Yeah,
he runs real fast in the forest.
Yeah,
these are things I know about.
He plays pool by himself at parties.
I don't understand. He takes the shot and then leaves the house,
yeah.
And then the ball goes in.
Right,
that's amazing.
He's Matthew McConaughey.
You know he's practiced that so long. He's like, okay.
Doesn't he stare down?
He stares
down a buffalo too, right in the middle of the road in one of those commercials. He's like, all right.
It just shows up.
He just
kind of
sits there. He looks and he goes, all right. And he puts it in reverse and leaves.
Yeah.
So. He's the best.
Oh.
All right, we got a break. Esmeralda's here. 312-981-7200. We have more sweaty movies to get to and whatever else we get to.
Do cats sweat?
Their tongue?
I'm just thinking
well,
about
dogs.
That.
Well, dogs, the because they when they open their mouth.
Right. Cats don't do that unless it's like dire.
Yeah.
I wonder if Taylor Swift and Jennifer Hudson sweat in that.
Yeah, are they going to sweat? Sweatiest movie ever, cats.
Oh, man. All right. That is the most terrifying trailer I've ever seen in my life. Okay. Let's take a break here, and we will come back with more after this.
This town is too hot. Now they're calling for their guns. About to spoil their good boys' guns.
Yeah, it's hot. By the way, Esmeralda is watching the Cats trailer on her phone right now, and you should see the expression on her face.
It's freaking me out. Their faces aren't freaking me out. It's more that they're all wearing cat suits.
Yeah,
I don't know if they are, man.
That's,
I think they might just
glued hair onto their bodies. What do you?
They got an experimental surgery.
There's some sort of.
There's a new pill.
It's probably some of the creepiest use of CGI I've ever seen.
It's a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, all right. Hey, coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve. Yeah, That guy.
Also, Steve Grzanich. Some of them wear clothes and then not all of them?
Yeah, I know. There's top hats. And some people are, you know, I don't know. I can't make, I don't know what even to make of that musical. I swear to God, I saw it one time and I wanted to blow my brains out while I was watching it.
What is it about?
It's about cats.
Right, but like.
It's based on, what the hell is it based on again?
Some taxonomy of cats or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, but like. Is there a cat that wants to do something?
Yeah,
or...
there's a plot. I don't remember the whole plot.
There's some memories all alone in the moonlight.
It's terrible. There's and you know what? Have you seen? You want to talk about terrible musicals and Andrew Lloyd Webber? Have you seen Starlight Express?
Yeah. No, I've seen it.
You know what that's about?
No, what?
It's about a train and everybody's on roller skates.
Oh wow!
And they roller skate around the theater and sing stupid songs.
Oh my.
By the way, coming up is the stories that matter.
Would you like to be in that pitch meeting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at that point, Andrew Lloyd Webber could do anything because that was right after Phantom had opened, and Phantom was the biggest thing in Broadway history.
Do you think he wanted to see if he could do anything?
Yeah, I think that's no. I just think he's an idiot. I don't know if I think he thought the train that Starlight Express was a good idea. I really do. By the way, coming up, I have to get this in here. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So there you go.
I did just watch the documentary now where they do the
recording. Oh, my God. Oh,
that's
my
great.
God. The callback.
Yeah.
Genius. That got nominated for documentary now got nominated.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so did Drunk History.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, God, that show is funny. Drunk History is so funny.
What did they get nominated for?
Best comedy show for the Emmys.
Oh.
The thing about Drunk History is it's hilarious. And I'm not kidding. You learn something. Because Derek Waters is very, very specific about wanting to be accurate and be historically accurate. So not only when you watch the show do you laugh, but I'm not kidding. You learn something. And then sometimes, I'm not kidding, it makes you cry. Like, I got emotional. The Sam Cooke episode almost killed me.
Oh.
And you know, there was another one. I can't remember who it was. But at the end, I was like, But it's also hilarious because as, you know, the person telling the story gets drunker and drunker. And anytime, you know, they have the reenactments and them lipping what the drunk is saying.
Yeah,
it's funny every time. It's funny every time.
That's how I got my girlfriend now of almost 7 years to go out with me, was because of Drunk History.
Really?
Yeah.
What is that? Were you on it?
No, I wish. No, it was freshman year of college. I was really drunk at a dorm party and she was there. And I started talking to her, and I did the Nikola Tesla Thomas Edison bit.
Oh.
Wow. And she thought it was so funny.
So you stole material from Drunk History.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
There's a Tesla movie, isn't there?
Well, I mean,
well, the
Prestige.
The current war.
No, like a real
current
one.
Oh, yeah, that's right, current war.
Yeah.
Like a real one.
Didn't Bowie play Tesla in the Prestige, or am I nuts?
No, you're 100% correct.
Okay. Well, anyway, but Drunk History, the other thing about it. Every time, and I'm not kidding, every time they cut to Derek Waters and he starts laughing, I lose it. I love Derek Waters. And every time, like, he can't take it because the comedian that's telling the story is so wasted. Every time they cut to Derek Waters, and he's got this laugh where it's just like his whole body bounces up and down.
Yeah.
He's just like, I laugh every single time they cut to Derek Waters.
What I love is that there's even, there's one in Spanish now.
Is there?
There's one with, like Latin American
history.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen any of them because I think you have to pay. It's like a pay whatever
you
online.
You know who's really great in the reenactments? Because they get so many great cameos. You know, big time actors and stuff show up. But consistently brilliant with the lipping, with lip syncing to the Evan Rachel Wood. Evan Rachel Wood knocks it out of the park every time she's on.
She was Mary Shelley, right?
Yes.
The Frankenstein one.
Yeah, which
great.
Is one of the best ones.
So funny.
So Seth Rogen was in that one. That was, that show's great, and it deserves Emmy nominations. It's a really funny show. So, all right. Oh, boy, we have to break. I believe Slap Slaply he's landing the plane on the runway, which is on the roof.
I think I can hear it now.
Of 303.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, sometimes...
The runway, wow.
You know, the skyscraper raccoon still comes back every once in a while?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he's jumping from skyscraper to skyscraper. I would assume he would come here.
All right. Let's take a break. The news is coming up. And after the news, we're going to play a round of For the Record and have some fun there. And all the regular Friday features are coming up later on as well. Hey, Esmeralda, you can vote on the dummy this week.
Oh, exciting.
There we go. Okay, let's take a break here on 720 WGN. I have to press this button first. Police. Welcome back, everybody. Is the theme heat tonight?
Yeah, I mean, what? You know.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay.
Doing my best.
I love that you...
Can I make a request?
Sure.
For a heat, can we play Buster Poindexter?
Sure.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
I was thinking gonna make you sweat.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
All right. Well, you know, I want to avoid hot, hot, hot. For as long as possible, but we could do that.
Do you not like that song?
Do you not like Buster Poindexter?
You don't like Buster Poindexter? He's in one of the New York Dolls, man.
Yeah,
maybe
but
I'm thinking of the wrong song.
No, you probably wouldn't like that song. It's Buster.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Yeah,
Buster.
Yeah, no.
That's... Yeah, that's Buster Poindexter.
Buster Poindexter and what's his actual name?
David Johansson.
Is different. Completely different people.
No, absolutely.
I know, but I just love you. He was in the New York Times. Like,
I know.
That doesn't matter.
No, I understand. I understand. He was in... Yeah, okay, here's the thing. Tom?
He's in a movie.
Did you see Scrooged?
Yeah.
With Bill Murray, the Christmas movie?
Yeah, I've seen Scrooged.
He's the taxi driver.
Okay.
That's him.
That's Buster.
That's Buster Poindexter. David Johansson, but that's the same guy. Feeling hot. I love Buster Poindexter.
I mean, good for him.
I saw him live. I went to go see Buster Poindexter live.
He has more than one song?
Yeah. He's Buster. It's a whole act. It's like his whole character.
Right, but
he's fantastic.
Is it original songs or do you
Yeah, original and a couple of covers.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah. Never got to see the New York Dolls, but I did see Buster Poindexter.
Same thing, really.
Yeah, very close. All right. Well, let's see. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
Esmeralda Leon is here. And whenever Esmeralda shows up, we like to play a game. And we used to play pop-up video,
mm-hmm.
where we would have trivia questions that are music-related asked of us. And now we play For the Record, which covers the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
And so that's your wheelhouse.
Yes.
In as far as like music knowledge goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so but we need a host, and he just arrived from NAMM.
Yeah. From NAMM. I like
from NAMM.
Time traveled.
And he's here now. And it's Slap Slaply. He's the host. Slap Slaply, everybody.
Wow. He brought his own band. There's very few bands who can play this correctly.
Wow.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hail Britannia.
Wow.
Wow.
It's Rule Britannia.
Oh, Rule Britannia. That's right.
There's a Come whole on carpet now, all the way from the
a red
top
carpet
of the ceiling.
From the
roof, yeah.
Is right down.
Yes.
Down the stairs.
Well, welcome back, Slap Slaply.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here, Nicholas. Very happy to be here. It's so truly
proper.
A thrill.
Ah, okay. Well... This is an international game now, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
I mean,
that
come
or not.
On.
Well, here's the deal. He will start with a question to you and then mm-hmm. a question to me. They will each mm-hmm. have a different category. And then we'll do a second round where they start with a question to me and then mm-hmm. to you. Same thing happens. Whoever has the most correct at the end of the... You all right?
No, I smacked the
at
microphone.
At the end of the... wins a submarine ride with the zombie of John Huston.
What was he in?
He's a director. Angelica Houston's father.
Oh, okay.
Directed a lot of classic movies. I don't know why John Huston came into my head. And why John Huston would be in a submarine. I don't know. He's never made a submarine movie, to
Is
my
he
knowledge.
Piloting it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he didn't do anything. John Huston was
right.
a badass.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in Chinatown. He's been in movies. He has acted, but he's mostly known as a director and as the father of Angelica Houston.
Mm.
So, zombie John Huston in a submarine.
Interesting.
Right down the river.
Yeah, is he just waiting down there?
He's on the Odyssey.
Okay. Oh, it's good. He's not waiting in the
hanging
submarine.
Hanging out. I can see him from here.
Yeah.
Because actually, this is an actual thing. I can turn around and look right out, and the Odyssey is parked right below us.
Yes.
And it's lit up every night. It says Odyssey every night.
Was like, that one of the perks that they told you
they
when
said,
we moved here?
If like, we, you'll be if able you, to see if it. You use Studio D instead of Studio A... You'll be able to see the Odyssey all morning long. And I was like, well, hell, that seals the deal right there.
Sold.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Shall we begin, Slaply?
We shall begin.
All right.
All right. Esmeralda, you're first. How are you doing, darling?
Good.
Great. I love the hair.
Thanks.
It's great. Very 80s.
Oh.
Very groovy.
All right. Here's your question. Here's your question.
It's going to be award-winning performance here at some point. All right.
The 80s. In late 1988, Waiting for a Star to Fall hit number 5. Who had this hit? Was it Timbuk3, Love and Rockets, Looking Glass, or Boy Meets Girl?
Waiting for a Star to Fall?
Waiting for a Star to Fall hit number 5.
Timbuk3. Yeah.
That is incorrect. It was Boy Meets Girl.
Ah, yeah, Boy Meets Girl.
I was thinking.
Timbuk3 was Future So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades.
Oh, okay.
That was Timbuk3.
Darn.
Looking Glass. They didn't make any. Looking Glass was from the day. I'll say, Mandy, you're a fine girl.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Looking Glass. That's from the 70s.
Dang. And the trying song to trick Brandy.
Me. Oh, Brandy.
Brandy.
No, Mandy is. Mandy is.
Mandy is.
No. Mandy is. What's
hey,
his?
Mandy.
What's his? What's his face?
Barry.
Yeah, Barry Manilow.
You came and you.
It's about his dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I've met that dog.
Have you?
Horrible beast.
Oh, okay.
He parties with Mandy the dog, yeah.
All right, well, you missed that one, Esmeralda. All right, what's next?
All right, next is the 90s. 90s
yeah.
for Nick.
Okay.
What band recorded a responsorial song of profanities called Ode to Tipper Gore? Was it the Rolling Stones, Warrant, the Osmonds, or Metallica? Ode to Tipper Gore.
I'm going to go Osmonds.
Well, no, I'm guessing.
I know, but I'm just
you're saying
giving
Osmonds?
You a tip.
Yeah.
yeah, Donny Osmond.
So this would have been in the 80s when she was leading the storm to censor music?
Yeah, probably.
But remember, this is the category of the 90s.
Oh, it's the 90s.
That's when the record came up.
This album came up. Boy, that's a little late for your political statement.
Well, you know. At least they got there.
I'm going to say Metallica.
Going to say Metallica. That is incorrect.
Who is it?
Warrant.
Warrant.
Of all bands.
They have a song besides Cherry Pie?
I guess so. I never knew about it.
It's all swears,
they never
apparently.
Told me.
We're doing great, Esmeralda.
Zero.
Goose egg to goose egg.
Nil nil, as they
or
say.
Or let's say alligator egg versus alligator egg, since we've had so many alligators.
So topical.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Esmeralda.
Yes.
For 1 point, what was Boz Skaggs' birth name? Was it Richard Skaggs, Boston Skaggle, William Royce Skaggs, or Howard John Skagman?
I want to meet the writers. I do.
What was the second one?
Boston Skaggle.
Okay, that one, no. I'm going to go with the first one.
Richard Skaggs.
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
Oh, come on.
It was William Royce Skaggs.
It wasn't Jason Skaggs? He used to work here for
I
people.
Know.
Okay.
John Skagman.
I love Jason Skaggs. He's the guy, for those people who don't know, he used to work here at GN. He's a great guy and very talented, incredibly talented.
Great
he's the guy
jingles.
Who, in 15 minutes, wrote my dad's joke song. And performed it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's him.
He wrote a couple songs he wrote one for me.
Yes,
for
he
Traffic.
Did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah, he's a great guy. Good guy. He's doing well, too. Got a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's cool. Down in Texas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We're flying here. All right. What's next?
All right. Next, You're on Stage is the category.
Good Lord.
The ageless Rolling Stones made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in what year? Was it 1989? 1993, 1986, or they haven't yet made it in.
Oh, please. All right, so it's 20 years, if I'm not mistaken, it's 20 years from the release of your first record when you're eligible. There's no way they weren't inducted in the first Hall of Fame. They're the first possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say 86.
Let's see. That is incorrect.
Oh, man.
When? 89?
1989.
We are not doing good.
0.
John Huston might be
all right. John,
driving solo.
No, he's fine. He drinks.
Zombie.
John Huston
he's
was a
zombie drinker.
John Huston was a big drinker. That's all I can tell you. All right, why don't we take a break here? When we come back, we'll begin to get more questions wrong.
Yes.
All right, Esmeralda's here. We're playing For the Record, and we're going to come back, and in a little while, we'll start the Friday features right here on WGN. Okay. Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mateer and Joe Donlin. It's weeknights on WGN TV News at 9. One of the reasons I love this song so much is just the fact that it was a hit. You know what I mean? Like this song,
catchy.
This song was a hit, and you know, this was in like the mid '80s.
Yeah, people loved their.
And a song like that was a hit, like in 1986 or 87. I love that. I love that. Buster Poindexter, man, he rules. It is hot, hot, hot. See? Yeah.
Yes. Good job.
Thank you. That's why I got an award.
Yeah. You got that
and I got a plaque in the sidewalk. That's because I'm so good at what I do.
Because you can talk about the things that are happening.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Esmeralda's here coming back for a visit. Always great to see you. And we're back to the game.
Yes.
Slap Slaply.
Nail is here biting zero to zero.
From the UK, and we have not gotten one question correct. So we're
easily one of the worst performances I've ever seen in my entire life.
Thank you. What, just one? Just me? She didn't get anything right either.
No, I'm just for both of you.
Oh, for both of you.
No, it's a collective.
As a collective, yeah. I've been a game show host for nearly 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this. It's a miserable display, yeah. A ludicrous display.
I mean, I usually think a producer will rig something. To at least get a point on the board. So.
I was speaking to Tom earlier, and he said the same thing.
Okay.
Wow,
Tom, jeez.
I know, he's a jerk.
You know, from what I understand, evidently you sound a lot like Tom's sister.
Yeah. No, that's entirely true. We actually went to school together.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's got
family in the UK.
I know,
Tom does, and his sister has an English accent.
Okay, but still.
And I'm heard... You know, through the grapevine that, in fact, Slap, you do sound a lot like Tom's sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
We grew up in the same town in Kent.
True, but I don't know if I would ever compare my sister to a man's accent, but that's fine.
Horrible smoker.
Oh, okay, I see. Horrible. Deep register.
Yes.
Okay.
Lord. All right. I believe the question is now to Esmeralda, correct?
Yes. All right. Yeah. Yes, it is. All right, Esmeralda, come on. You need this.
I'll try.
All right. One hit wonder.
Okay.
In 1980, Tired of Toeing the Line was the only hit for what artist? Was it Rocky Burnett, Mark Glass, Cheeks Blanchard, or Denny Johnson?
Mm. All of these names sound fake. This game is rigged. Who's the first and the second one?
Second one, Mark Glass.
What was the first one?
Rocky Burnett.
I'm going to go with the Cheeks one.
Cheeks Blanchard. Yeah. That's no. That's very...
That was the fakest sounding name in the whole category.
When was the last time you met a person named Cheeks?
Just...
Who wasn't a gangster?
Just yesterday.
What about... who was it? It was either the first one or the fourth one.
It was Rocky Burnett.
Okay,
the first one. Man.
Rocky Burnett.
All the other ones.
I remember that song.
The first one.
Yeah. You go with Cheeks Johnson or whatever the hell his name is.
Bernard Blanchard.
Yeah.
Blanchard. It's not real? They're not
I don't think that's a real person.
No. It's made up.
All right.
Darn.
What's next?
All right, Nick. Mosh Pit.
Mosh Pit.
Ooh.
All right. Hard Rock. Before founding Megadeth, Dave Mustaine was booted from what band? I need to give you the options?
Yeah, I want to hear what they wrote.
All right.
Cheeks Blanch.
Cheeks. The Band of Cheeks. That's a...
Was it A, Guns N' Roses, B, Def Leppard, C, Winger, or D, Metallica?
Okay, so Dave Mustaine...
He's got the hair for Winger.
...founded a band called Winger, which is named after the guy who founded it. Kip Winger.
Oh, Kip.
Kip Winger.
Kip Winger, that's right.
Could you imagine him founding Def Leppard? Dave Mustaine's American.
I mean, they got the hair for it. I'll say that much.
It's Metallica. It's one of the biggest feuds in rock and roll history.
There we go.
All right, finally.
We're on the board.
Ah.
Good job.
Finally.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Ah. Oh, okay.
We're cooking with petrol.
Many more steps towards John Heath.
That's right. Yes. Are we, was that the end of the first round?
That was the end of the first round.
Okay, well, we'll save the second round for after the news. Yeah, that Dave Mustaine, that's just still a bone of contention. It's actually tiresome.
Really? They don't even talk?
He bitches about it all the time. Dave Mustaine bitches about it all the time.
Even though
Megadeth is very successful, but I think Dave Mustaine is sick now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got throat cancer.
Oh, man.
Oh.
That sucks. I love Dave Mustaine, but he needed to calm down a little bit about the whole Metallica. I mean, for years, this was like a...
Yeah.
This was going on for... He got booted from Metallica way, way early. I mean, like Cliff Burton days.
Which one's worse? Pete Best complaining or Dave Mustaine?
Well,
I feel like Pete Best still complains as
well. Well, he should.
there's a difference between getting
kicked out of the Metallica as opposed to getting kicked out of the Beatles. There's a little popularity and,
I feel like some people would argue that.
Yeah, I'm sure that some people would. Listen, I love Metallica, but they're not the Beatles. I think Pete Best has a better argument.
That whole phone bank's going to light up.
Of what, with Metallica fans?
Yeah.
Come on.
This is their prime hour.
Dave Mustaine's going to call up.
I would not be surprised.
Dave
Mustaine calls up.
When you put this in the podcast, you should put Dave Mustaine something or other, just because I feel like he has Google things.
Yeah.
So he'll get in his email.
If we're going to mention Dave Mustaine, I think we should sincerely put get well soon.
We're
having a little fun here, but it's a terrible situation he's in right now, and I wish him the best. And because he's given me many hours of enjoyment with his music. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. I love Megadeth. I think Megadeth rules. Peace sells. Who's buying? Come on, man.
my cousin actually played on that record.
Oh, damn. Is that right?
Yeah, my cousin, Spank Spankly.
Hey, Spank Spankly. Okay.
Wow.
He played on Peace Sells Who's Buying?
Yeah, he played the bass.
Oh, okay.
Little up here, you know.
All right.
Is that what you call playing the bass?
Yeah, it's up here.
This is a radio show. So
I got to show them.
Yeah.
And my back's to you.
So he's got his hands up, like, you know, playing the bass very high.
Oh, got it. Got it.
As opposed to when it's slinged down very low.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's one of the best bass players on the planet?
Paul McCartney.
Well, yeah, he's awesome. But Mark King. He's in a band called Level 42. And he's one of the greatest bass players that has ever lived. And I love that band.
Was he in Genesis?
No.
I feel like Level 42 and had
aren't they the super group?
No. Level 42, no, they're better than Genesis.
Who's the super group?
What? Which one?
I don't know. The one with...
Asia?
No. The one with...
Asia was a super group.
Second reference. I just want to point that out.
Wow. That's normal. We'll
figure it out during the break here. The news is coming up in 7 seconds. Crazy ass Arthur Brown. Esmeralda, you got to see, if you ever want to watch this guy perform, you should look this up. It's The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Crazy British dude who would have crazy makeup on.
Oh.
Insane outfits.
Yeah.
He'd have a giant head dressing on with flames shooting out of the top of it.
I like it already.
Crazy ass Arthur Brown.
Slap, do you know him?
I actually used to play a little bit of polo with him.
Oh.
It was very difficult. It was very difficult with the headdress.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably really spooked the horses with the flame shooting out of his head.
Well, especially when he put it on the horse.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
I would think you'd have a special one for the horse.
No, you don't want to do that. Mm. You don't want to put a flaming head dressing on a horse. That's not going to work out.
That's why he doesn't play polo.
That's right.
Amazing cook as well.
If you look at, seriously, I YouTube some performances by him. That's the only hit he ever had. I mean, he's got other music, but just appearances, this guy, the makeup is insane, flame shooting out of the top of his head. And this was in the 60s.
Mm.
Like, he was doing this insane stuff in the 60s. You know, our buddy Steve Krakow, who is also known as Plastic Crime Wave, who was a regular on the show. He's a regular on Mike Stevens' show.
Yes.
Right now, Secret World of Secret History of Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
That's him. And he went to England. He's been to England a few times. He went to England and he interviewed crazy ass Arthur Brown.
Nice.
And it was like, I was like, man, I can't. But he's like, it was the coolest thing ever. Like, he lives in a castle. Like, he's as insane. He's as insane as you would
Does
hope
he wear
is.
The headdress casually?
Yeah, well, he still performs.
Just no flames.
Guy's like 80. He's still putting flames on his head and running around. Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Do yourself a favor. You listeners out there, if you don't know who crazy-ass Arthur Brown is, look up The Crazy World of Arthur Brown and just enjoy. Enjoy this guy's insane performances. So, all right. All right, so here's the score, thusly.
Mm-hmm.
Nick 1, Esmeralda 0. Cool. Esmeralda, we need to get you going here.
Sorry.
All right, so it's round 2, so we start with me.
Yes, and you're getting the 80s.
Oh,
the 80s.
Brother.
All right. Do you remember the 80s?
I do.
All right, good.
It's one of my favorite decades of music.
Remember the 80s? Sorry.
Didn't what was the character that...
it was Goat Boy.
Goat Boy, right. Yeah. Who is it? Jim Brewer. That's right.
Yeah.
Remember the 80s? All right, we've got an 80s question.
80s. All right. In late 1980, the theme from the Dukes of Hazzard, Good Old Boys, was a hit.
God.
Which country star brought it to the charts?
I feel I'm getting easier questions than Esmeralda this morning. Okay, what are the choices? Right.
Options. Conway Twitty, Willie Nelson, Kenny Rogers, or Waylon Jennings?
It's Waylon Jennings.
Very good.
Yeah. That was too easy.
Just to redo it? Or
no, he did the voiceover.
Oh, in the original?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the Duke boys up to today?
Oh, I'm thinking of the Sun.
I still have Dukes of Hazzard sheets at my parents' house.
Wow.
It's nothing like sleeping on Boss Hogg, I tell you. Although there are Confederate flags all over thing. We gotta bury that thing somewhere.
No, yeah, you better take those sheets off the bed, I imagine.
I'm not still using them.
No,
I was gonna say don't use them in any capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Although I will say this: it's appropriate for the Confederate flag to be on sheets.
All right.
Oh,
get it?
It took me a minute because I'm not from America.
Ryan got it right away.
I'm British.
Yeah. Okay.
He don't know it.
All right. All right. What's...
All right, Esmeralda. I think this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one that gets you on the board.
Oh, good.
All right. The 90s. What group had the 1995 hit "I Only Want to Be with You"? Was it Groove Theory, Immature, Outkast, or Hootie and the Blowfish?
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Very good.
I only want to be with you.
I had to sing it like those. I did do it like those the kids in the spelling bee.
You had to sing it to myself. Yeah, sing it to your, were they writing on their hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They close their hands over their mouths and no one sees it.
I only want to be with you. All right, it's 2-1 now. We got a game.
All right.
Got a game. John Houston, I can see him from the Odyssey. He's smiling.
Because he's going to eat one of us.
That's
he's
right.
a zombie.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, next.
All right. Category. Real name. What is hitmaker Christopher Cross's birth name?
Whoa, that's not his real name.
We are learning
that
truths.
That disappoints me that his name's not Chris Cross. That really disappoints me.
Christopher Cross.
Okay. All right.
Is it Samuel Pylon?
Wait a minute. Samuel Pylon, as in the thing in the middle of the street?
That's a median.
No, like the little pylon.
The little pylons that you put outside to block lanes.
Like a traffic cone.
Yeah,
oh.
They're called pylons.
Oh, I know them as traffic cones.
Okay. Am I old or something? Is that an
Fancy
old term? Is pylon an old
pylon.
Term?
Pylon.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
We call them street corn.
Street corn. Street corn. Do you put mayonnaise on it too?
And salad cream.
And Mexican spices? Yeah.
More looks like a candy corn.
All right. Is it Samuel Pylon?
Yeah.
Christopher Geppert? Christopher Collins?
You can't even. He can't even say the last one.
Or Christopher Walken?
I hope it's Walken.
What's the second one again?
Christopher Geppert.
I'm going with that.
That is correct.
All right.
Christopher Geppert.
Christopher Walken.
Can you imagine? He was a Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't ruin, because they're not in the union or whatever, so he could have kept his name.
Yeah. All right.
You're going to have to get to Walken, Christopher.
Yeah, you ever see the see those images that are online of a walk-in cooler with a big picture of Christopher Walken on it?
No.
There are some restaurants that actually, the walk-in cooler.
I usually see it for, I've seen it for hair salons.
Yep. Walk-ins welcome.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right.
Esmeralda, you're on stage.
Uh-oh.
Is the category. Who won the 1987 Grammy for Best New Artist? Was it Whitney Houston, Ann Wilson, Corinne Harrison, or Jody Watley?
Oh.
Ooh. Gonna throw that Jody Watley in there as a curve, man.
Best New Artist, 1987 Grammy.
I'm going to say Jody Watley.
That is correct.
Yeah. It was between her and Whitney Houston.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I was like, I feel like she's been around. She was around a little bit longer. Yeah.
Ann Wilson from Heart?
Oh, I was thinking.
Best new artist in 1987?
Oh, I was. Who's the lady that sings Stand By Your Man?
Stand By Your Man.
Yeah. Is it an Ann?
No.
Is there new?
I don't believe so.
It's not Loretta Lynn, is it? No. Oh, there's people screaming at the radio right now. There's no question.
Lynn is screaming at the radio.
Yeah,
she's like, "Stand by your man,
you idiot." I can't remember who did "Stand by Your Man."
I don't know, but I thought Ann Wilson was someone else.
No, Ann Wilson,
and from Heart.
Ann and Nancy Wilson are the sisters, the Wilson sisters from Heart.
Did not think that. Don't know why.
All right, why don't we break here for weather?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, my former producer Andy Herman loves Foreigner.
That seems like a problem if your temperature is 103.
Yeah! No, that is a problem.
You should go to the doctor.
Yeah.
You'll have brain damage.
But he's hot-blooded, so it's fine.
It's okay.
It's all right. You're hot-blooded. That's what the doctor would say. We'd look at you and go, wait, you 103? That's fine. You're hot-blooded.
That's normal.
Check it and see. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The regular Friday features are coming up. We'll kick it off with You Big Dummy, which is where we read real news stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we'll vote. We have our Esmeralda gets to vote this morning. And then we have Straight Out of Context. I'm hoping that there are some Lou Manfredinis.
Oh, I hope so.
Because you're here. Straight Out of Context. Straight Out of Context is where you listen 24 hours a day. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. That rule applies to Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then Luscious Hushes will be here, we will be doing some fly jams Friday. 312-981-7200. All right, let's get back to the game of For the Record. It is 3 for Nick and 2 for Esmeralda.
I got 2?
John Houston smoking a pipe, a zombie pipe, on the Odyssey right now.
He gets it specific.
Exactly. Slap.
Yeah.
Okay, slap. Slap. Sorry.
What did you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I thought I was calling. I flash back to our old our host.
His cousin.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, slap, slaply. Here we go.
All right, Nick, one hit wonder. In 1982, what?
Wait, I'm sorry. Esmeralda, you were just on TV.
What?
They're showing your episode of Cops again?
Oh, look at that.
For a second, I was like, I wasn't on Friends.
Yeah. It's a commercial during Friends. You were just on. For those, tell everybody what commercial
you... I was on a United Auto Insurance commercial, the jingle.
You got to sing the jingle, you and V.
They gave me $20.
$20.
Cash.
Yeah. Outstanding. All right. Let's go, Slap.
All right. In 1982, what one-hit wonder did it in style, bringing his only U.S. hit, Chariots of Fire, all the way to number one?
Is this me?
This is Nick. Was it Roger Williams? Was it Bill Conti? Was it Vangelis? Or was it John Ross?
So Vangelis.
Very good. That is correct.
Yeah. That's when I mooned my TV, Slap.
You mooned your TV?
I mooned my TV the year that Chariots of Fire won Best Picture over Reds. I mooned my TV. I was...
The running one?
What?
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, that's the slow motion British guys running in their underwear. That's what that movie is, as opposed to...
Be careful. Slap might enjoy that movie.
That's my everyday life, right?
The brilliant Warren Beatty epic about the Russian Revolution. Yeah, no, that's not as good as guys running around in their underwear in slow motion.
I mean, that song.
Jeez. All right. Next, Esmeralda, you ready now? Or are you getting ready?
Yeah. All right. Here it is. Mosh Pit.
Oh.
What star, on his 30th birthday, pretended to collapse due to advanced age, getting his fans pleading for an encore? Was it Mick Jagger? Was it Tom Jones, Bruce Springsteen, or Eddie Meadows?
What was the second one?
Tom Jones, a Welshman.
Yes.
I'm going to go with that last one.
Eddie Meadows?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
I don't think Eddie Meadows exists. My guess would have been Tom Jones.
I keep picking the fake ones.
It was the boss.
No.
Really? Yeah. That seems like such a stupid jerk
thing. The boss pulled a stunt like that?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
He better not have done it in Jersey. There would have been hell to pay.
That just seems so silly.
It does. That doesn't seem very Bruce Springsteen-like.
Yeah, doesn't seem very boss-like.
All right, what do we got?
That's the last
one. Oh, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, I win.
You and John Houston, man.
Me and John Houston.
Oh, how was your zombie ride with Tom Petty?
It was good. It was really good.
Is it a horse you're riding?
You were riding a horse. Zombie Tom Petty, a zombie horse, and me.
And you were just riding on the back, holding on?
Yes, I was holding on to Zombie Tom Petty as he sang Don't Come Around Here No More all night.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just over on repeat?
And then I requested American Girl because I think that's his best song.
Okay.
And the only good moment of Silence of the Lambs. It's the only good moment of Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
All right. So Tom is back. We hear the jet taking off.
Wow, he's quick.
Tom, welcome back.
Hey, how?
4-2 I won. So there you go. Tom was shaking his head when I said...
Eddie Meadows. Come on.
Eddie Meadows.
Even I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was someone.
Tom was shaking his head no when I said that was the only good scene in Silence of the Lambs.
I understand your criticisms.
I hate that movie.
I know you do.
But I really love her. I love her in it. I think she's the best performance. Well, no, she's not.
Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster's the best performance in the movie, but the girl who plays the girl in the well.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
fantastic
she's
in that movie.
She you don't like that.
What's the name of the guy who plays Buffalo Bill again?
Ted Levine?
Yeah.
He's a Chicagoan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's creepy as hell. He's Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
He's creepy as hell. I'll give you that.
And I feel
the performances are good in that movie. I just object to everything else about it. Like, I morally object to that movie. It makes my skin crawl. And not in a good way. Not like Midsummer. Made my skin crawl, but in a really good way. But anyway, that girl, and I wish I remembered her name. From the moment she's singing American, this is my favorite moment in the entire movie, when she's singing American Girl in the car. I love this. My favorite moment in the whole movie. And for me, it's like the only genuine Jonathan Demme moment in the entire film.
It also teaches you don't help people.
Yeah. Hey, you want to move my couch?
Help
me move my couch.
No, thank you, sir. Bye.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hurts again.
I'm going to kill this dog, dude, if you don't let me.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
The dog was great. All right.
So
hey, by the way,
by the dog and the girl.
And the girl great. In the well. Yeah. The two things in the well. Best thing in the movie. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So there you go. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a very unpopular opinion that I have
I mean,
of Silence of the Lambs.
It won Oscars, right?
It won all the Oscars, all the major Oscars. And it's one of the only horror movies to win Best Picture. And it won picture, actor, actress, screenplay, director. All the major.
Wow.
It won all of them. And it was really unusual, one, because it's a horror movie. And normally the Academy ignores horror movies, which is, of course, unfair, which is the reason why.
Is it really a horror movie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Silence of the Lambs
is a
horror
movie. I would think it's like a thriller.
No, it's a horror movie.
That's the thing. That's whenever a horror movie gets lauded for awards, it suddenly becomes not a horror movie. Like The Exorcist, that's a horror movie.
Exorcist is a horror movie.
No, but I would say like, that. Yeah, oh, I would say that's a horror.
It's more of a thrill. It's more of a supernatural thriller.
No, psychological thriller.
Whatever.
Is the one. That's what they usually go to.
It's so annoying.
Yeah. No. Silence of the Lambs is a horror movie. That's
really?
Definitely
a
horror.
Shot
movie.
Exactly need more, like one. You know, murder.
There's a lot of murder in Silence of the Lambs, and they eat people. He eats people in it.
Cuts a guy's face off, man.
He just chewed on it a little bit.
Bit a chunk of Charles Napier's face off. And the other thing that was unusual about it was that, you know, because it's unusual for a movie to win that many awards because it's a horror film. And two, it came out in February. And notoriously, the Academy forgets about movies that haven't come out past September.
Right.
And so this movie came out on Valentine's Day, 1991. That's when Silence of the Lambs came out. And for a movie that was released in February, a horror movie to be released in February, it's even more impressive that it won all those awards. But it was listen, man, I saw it 3.5 times in the theater.
Why?
Because every single person I know who and respect loves that movie. And I was like, maybe I'm missing something. So I went back and
that's
I left.
Very kind of
during
you.
The fourth time I left, a half an hour in, I was like, I can't. I'm trying, and I find nothing, but I find it repulsive.
Are any of the other ones good?
Any of the other? No.
Yeah, Hannibal with Ridley Scott is not good.
I've only Hannibal seen Rising. The one. I've only seen the one with Edward Norton.
That's Red Dragon, which is Manhunter's good.
Manhunter's awesome.
Manhunter's great. That's Michael Mann. That's Red Dragon. But the best version of anything Thomas Harris ever wrote was the TV show Hannibal.
It's awesome.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
And and what they got away with on network TV.
Yeah.
I remember watching every episode going, this is NBC. I'm not watching HBO.
The one that sent me over the edge was The Silo.
Oh my God. It's a great show. And I am stunned it went 3 seasons. I'm stunned. Anyway, it was great. All right, we got a break. Esmeralda, hang out. You're going to vote for the dummy right after we break for the news.
Here's dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did? Oh, no. You big dummy. You dummy.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above a very warm downtown Chicago. Stay cool, everybody. Stay hydrated. If you're going to the Cubs game, man, you better bring gallons of water. That's all I'm saying. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And now it's time for our regular features. And Esmeralda Leon is here this morning as well. And it's time for our regular feature. We will begin right now with
You Big Dummy.
Dummy number one. There is a terrifying moment between two backpackers as they risk their lives by hanging a deadly blue-ringed octopus over their bare skin. Ross Saunders from the United Kingdom posted to Facebook bragging how much he was loving Australia after spending an entire day on the water. He also uploaded a video where he and another Irish backpacker are seen dangling the live blue-ringed octopus above their skin. They also put the venomous animal, which carries enough venom to kill 26 adult human beings within minutes, on their bare skin. Good Lord. Been an interesting 2-day introduction to fishing, the backpacker wrote on Facebook. Watching two amazing sunsets, saw dolphins, caught a blue-ringed octopus, one of the most dangerous animals in the world, and we didn't even realize it. While both backpackers found it highly entertaining, people on social media didn't find the stunt very funny. Wow, this guy could have died so easily, one person commented on the video. Many of the backpackers, they called the backpackers dumb for what they did and claimed that they were lucky to still be breathing. They also, let's see, I can't believe he put that on his arm. If it bites you, it's paralysis, and you stop breathing within minutes, one person wrote. According to the Australian Institute of Marine Science, the blue-ringed octopus have live bacteria in its tiny salivary gland, which produce chemical tetrodotoxin. This is a strong, fast-acting toxin that paralyzes the target by blocking the nerves from transmitting messages, the website read. The toxin can be fatal. It's been known to cause deaths to at least 3 people.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Inmates, a plot to escape from a prison in Argentina went awry when a group of inmates, after their tunnel led to where the penitentiary canine unit was housed. That sounds like a movie. It does. According to Argentine outlet Clarín, it took the prisoners almost 2 days to construct a tunnel near the Unit 24 cell area in Florencia Penitentiary in Buenos Aires. It extended 6 feet out toward the yard, and its escape exit was 3 feet wide and 5 feet deep. Man, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. To throw off any suspicion, the suspects, who were part of a carpentry work program, completely covered the hole with a piece of plywood and then littered it with sawdust. Unfortunately for the inmates, it appears that their route was a little off after the tunnel failed to make it outside the prison, but instead opened up inside the jail's guard dog kennels. A law enforcement agent in the penitentiary climbs down an escape tunnel recently constructed by seven prisoners. The inmates were not aware that the passage led to the prison yard where the canine unit was housed.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Yes, Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Yeah, right there. It's a Brewster seat. A driver in Canada was arrested this week for failing to properly secure a two-year-old, with cops claiming that he used a case of beer as a booster seat. See, Brewster. See how clever the writing is there?
I was hoping it was something about roosters, but I'm a little disappointed.
The first thing I thought of whenever I hear Brewster, I think of Richard Pryor, because he was in a movie called Brewster's Millions.
So it was a stack of Brewster's Million DVDs.
Yeah, that's what it was. All right, there we go. Once again, a driver in Canada was arrested this week for failing to properly secure a two-year-old, with cops claiming that he used a case of beer as a booster seat. Ontario Provincial Police pulled the Wellington North man over on Tuesday in the township of North Perth and found the child propped up next to him. The youngster, who was required to be in a child seat, was said to have been unharmed. The man he was with, who is 22, was charged with failing to ensure a toddler is properly secured. Driver used a case of beer for a booster seat, cops tweeted, along with a blurred out photo showing the booze he used. They noted how the case was factory sealed, meaning they couldn't charge the man for having alcohol in reach. Reach law applies to cases and open spirits, cops said. Social media users were both shocked and amazed by the arrest. That's crazy that they would just get the beer warm faster, someone... Yeah. Leave it to Ontario to tweet something like that. Good for all of you to protect the identity of the offending beer, another one said. And then the last reply said, is the beer okay? Canadians.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
Ah, yes. We got two more dummies to talk about here, but we're going to break for the very terrible weather forecast that we're going to do here. So we got the weather, and then we'll come back and we will wrap up the dummies. We will vote on the dummies. Tom will vote. I will vote. And Esmeralda Leon, who is with us this morning, shall vote. That is all coming up right here on WGN. But here comes the weather. The next 2 days, man, just stay inside. Put the air conditioning on and just stay inside. That's what I'm doing. I'm not leaving. Not going out at all this weekend. I'm skipping the Lion King, by the way, Tom. I was probably going to skip it anyway, even though it wasn't. Are you going to see? You have to see it. You're required to see it. It's your favorite movie, the original, right?
Yeah,
I mean, your favorite movie as a kid.
Yeah, I watched. You know what I did? Instead of going to go see it, I'm just going to stay at home and then watch The Lion King, the real one, not whatever this.
Yeah.
Bag of excrement.
It's been getting really terrible reviews.
Someone told me, I'm not kidding, that they wish they had died before they had been forced to see this.
Wow. Didn't like it, huh?
You could say that.
Yeah. All right. What, were you going to say something, Esmeralda?
No, I'm just amazed by that statement.
Oh, you're amazed by that statement. So it wow. must be pretty bad.
Woo.
Yeah. All right. All right, here's your weather from the WGN Weather Center. Today, excessive heat warning is in effect from 10 a.m. today to 7 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. Mostly sunny, windy, dangerously hot and humid. High temperature near 100, low in the low 80s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, very hot, humid, high near 100. Excessive heat warning is in effect, like I said, until 7 p.m. Sunday, things will change a little bit, and relief will show up. We'll get some rain and some thunderstorms, especially in the morning. Much cooler, with a high just near 80, cooler lakeside. So that's going to be one of those deals where the rain actually is going to cool something off. Partly cloudy, low mid-60s overnight. For Monday, high near 80, cooler near the lake, partly cloudy overnight. Low in the low 60s, and for Tuesday, warmer, high in the mid-80s, but cooler at the beaches, and then the low that night in the mid-60s. See, that's more like it. Currently 82 degrees at O'Hare, 82 at Midway, 81 at the lake front. All right, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we've got to finish up the dummies and get all the regular Friday features going again right here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Yeah, man. Yeah. And it is Friday morning. We're here until 5 a.m. live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. And we are doing the regular features. Let's get back to it. You Big Dummy. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Florida man fleeing police on his bicycle thwarted his own escape with a spectacular face plant before he was tased by a officer pursuing him. By the way, I just want to say I saw the video of this. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. This guy's booking away from the cops and just face plants. And he's trying to get up. They tase him. But the best part of the video is the people from inside the car who are videoing it and their commentary. Man, did they shoot him? No, bro, you just got tased! A woman in a passing car began filming the ill-fated flight after noticing the suspect furiously pedaling down a street as a squad car trailed right behind him. This is in Largo, Florida, on Sunday. She was commenting on the man's fervent but futile efforts when he hit a steep curb and went flying over the front wheel of his Gateway bike. A suspect was caught on video fleeing on his bike. A man tried to pick himself up and continued his getaway despite the spectacular fall. An officer pursuing the man in a squad car jumped out and ran before discharging his taser. The woman can be heard cheering the man before he goes down. Go, buddy, go! And then he face plants. The man appears to be trying to get up when the cop driving behind him jumps out of the cruiser and discharges his taser. Oh, blank, the woman says. Did he shoot him? Get tased, bro, said a man behind the camera. A 40-second video ends with the officer approaching the subdued suspect, and the woman filming keeps driving. They keep driving down the road. It's unclear who the suspect was or why he was being pursued.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy five. By the way, I've seen this, the picture of this latest thing. It's hilarious. Spanish police last month arrested a Colombian man who allegedly had a half a kilo of cocaine stashed under his toupee as he arrived in Barcelona on a flight from Colombia. And I got to say this, It's a half kilo of cocaine. It's under his toupee, and the toupee is like lifted up like 6 inches. The accused mule caught the attention of investigators due to the towering nature of his wig sitting atop his head. The subsequent search of the suspect yielded the cocaine, which was inside a plastic bag glued to his dome. Cops said that the accused mule, who was not identified, arrived on June 18th in Barcelona on a hot flight from Bogota, which they describe as an incoming plane from a narcotics-producing country. The ingenuity of drug traffickers has no limit when trying to circumvent the controls, the police said. Depending on purity of how it was cut, investigators said the seized cocaine would have yielded around $33,000.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
I'm not kidding. You're a big dummy.
All right. By the way, that's two of the stories this week would be benefited by seeing the visuals, because the dude with the cocaine on his head with the toupee is priceless, and the video of that guy face planting off the bike, you would love it, Esmeralda.
Oh no, I just watched it.
Oh,
I watched it as you were talking about it. I gotta see this.
So anyway, all right, we got a vote, and Esmeralda, you get the third vote. So here we go. We got the dummies who dangled a deadly octopus over their bare skin. We got the dummies who dug a hole to get out of prison and ended up going into the canine unit. We got the dummy who used a case of beer as a booster seat for a two-year-old. We got the dummy who face-planted off his bike while fleeing from the police and then getting tased. And we got the dummy who smuggled drugs under his toupee. Good week.
Very
good,
solid,
strong week of dummies. Mm. All right. Tom, what do you think? How are you going? Where you at? What happened? Where are you going?
You know, I want to do the guy with the cocaine underneath the toupee, mm-hmm, because it is one of the dumber things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, the picture's unbelievable.
It's
to think that he thought he would get away with it.
A massive bag of cocaine, too.
It's ridiculous.
Underneath his toupee.
Glued to his dome.
I don't understand how they could have spent a little more money on the toupee. Just a little more.
Yeah. Maybe give him like a mullet.
Whatever. I mean, you're going to get so much money off of that cocaine. You could spend a little more on the way to get it there.
Or at least put like a top hat over it.
A bigger wig.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm going to go with the guys who tried to escape and wound up in the canine cage.
That's pretty good.
That is hilarious.
That's pretty good. I got to say, that is pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. Well, let's see. Man, I mean, the octopus thing is just the stupidest. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? It could kill 26 people?
Did they know that, though?
No, they didn't.
See, that's... Really?
Yeah.
That's why I won't go there.
Okay. All right. You got the case of beer for a booster seat. The best part of that story are the comments that the Canadian beer drinkers left.
Is
the beer okay?
I will also say, at least he thought
of
putting something
exactly
down.
I'm going to say, because I watched the video and the video just destroyed me, I'm going to say the guy who face planted off his bike and got tased. I laughed. I mean, the picture of the idiot with the cocaine on his head is special and spectacular. But this guy face plants, it's so funny. And the commentary by the people in the car. So I'm going face planting dummy. Where are you going, Esmeralda?
I gotta go face planting dummy.
I figured you would.
That's that video. I love a good falling down
video. I know
video.
You do. It's one of your favorite things ever is people falling down.
Yeah. This one just face.
I mean, he right just kaboom.
And it's like, grass, but still.
But still, it's a heart. Ooh. I mean, he went down. Mm. But and then like the you know,
then
like,
they tase him.
Then they tase him.
Didn't you see he just fell on his face? He's not going anywhere.
He just broke his face. And now he's getting tased. And the commentary, you have to listen to it again with the sound.
Yeah.
With the comments, because you watched it in the studio here, and so you just saw the visual of the guy face planting getting tased, but you gotta hear the people in the car. You gotta hear
tased,
the people in the car.
Bro.
Yeah. And then when she's driving away, she says, "There you go, just another Saturday in Largo, Florida."
Yeah. Oh gosh.
So there's our dummy of the week, face planting bike taser dude. That's his official name.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right, let's break. We got the news, and then after the news, we will continue with our regular Friday features, doing Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and doing some fly jams right here on 720 WGN. You better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out.
out of context, context, context. Context, context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Friday morning, and I have the lovely Esmeralda Leon is here. It's been so much fun having you hang out.
Oh, thank Let's you.
Let's do it more frequently, yeah. Okay? All right. Very, very cool. It's always great to have you here. So, you remember the Friday features?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
This is called Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station, listeners, at 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty, double entendre-like, and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Tom, let's hit it.
All right, so our first one is going to be Bill Leff. This was sent to us by Scott in Carpentersville.
I remember Burt had a lot in his pants there. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, God. Did he say Burt?
Yeah, Burt.
Was he talking about Burt Reynolds?
Yes, he was. He was talking about Burt Reynolds.
Had a lot in his pants.
Wow.
Talking about, what was it, shaving cream?
Yeah. That was the infamous episode where Dom DeLuise started throwing eggs at Johnny Carson. and they started busting eggs at each other. And then Burt Reynolds comes out with shaving cream and starts shooting people with shaving cream. And it's the 70s.
How did he get in his pants?
They pulled each other's pants open and squirted it down the pants. And I'll never forget it because Burt Reynolds had brown leather pants on. This was like right around a loss, longest yard time. Yeah, right when he was at the peak of his popularity, mid 70s.
I was thinking he came out with.
No,
and
to
add,
you know, and the fact that Dom DeLuise was there, he got in on the action, you know, and they would soon make, you know, Cannonball Run movies together and all that stuff. So that's legendary. That's legendary Tonight Show stuff right there. Okay, what's next?
All right, next up, coming to us from Fox Valley, Mike, here's the host of the opening bell, Steve Grzanich.
Uh-oh.
To toast your wieners and your fun.
Yes.
I do love Dave Ennett's just yes.
I love Dave. He's the best. All right, what's next?
All right, Tanker Bob sends in Wendy here.
Of course.
Because it's like pretty small. It was only maybe about 6 inches.
It's small.
Disappointing.
Jeez.
She's going to need more. Need more than that.
She's got some major expectations, I think. All right.
All right. Next up here is Night Owl. Let's see here. Yes, this is, I apologize. This is John Hansen.
Someone got it on a little one-eye wiggler.
I think that's the first time John's ever been on. He's listening. I know he's listening now.
No, he's been on before.
Has he been
he's
on before?
Definitely been on
so.
Before.
Has he? Well,
I would think so.
Because I know he listens, you know, when he goes into work because he's on the jam, on the U. So, all right.
Yeah, so next up, here's you, Nick.
Me?
Yeah, well, of course. And this is coming to us from Kevin in Iowa.
I'm a little concerned about the length.
You should talk to Wendy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was innocent enough. I was just talking about the new Quentin Tarantino movie because it's 2 hours and 41 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Concerned. Concerned.
I'm concerned about that. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Next up here is Dean.
I don't know about that, but I will be shirtless.
What?
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 I don't know about that, but I will be shirtless.
Who sent that one in?
That's coming to us from Maria.
Maria, a shirtless Dean.
Yeah.
Well, you worked with him. Was he always shirtless?
He was mostly pantless.
Oh, pantless, right.
Of course.
Yeah,
that makes
sense. No, he was clothed from the top up, usually. Okay. So this is very strange.
All right. All right.
Here's another one. Here's Dean and Steve.
Look at this.
You're not getting off in half an hour.
Huh. Wait a minute. Where was Dean?
Sorry about that. It was just, he was talking to Dean.
Oh, he was talking to Dean. Okay.
Talking to Dean.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right. Now, one of my favorite entries here is when you get Schwanny. I love when Schwanny's on here. And there's a twofer, both of them from Brian J.
No way I could hold that or get my mouth around it.
Right. Yeah. It's
no
too,
way.
It's too much.
I mean,
Here's again, Schwanny from Brian J.
I would try it. I would eat one just to say that I would have one.
What? Yeah, the conversations between Dean and Schwanny are just, well, you were there, every Sunday.
It was like Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
I barely got out. Yeah. Barely got out alive every
week.
Oh,
God, I'm looking at the morning news here on Channel 9, and they're showing the image of a stuck roller coaster. I can't even imagine.
That's why I don't get on them.
Oh, my God. They were right at the top, but like about to go down the first dip.
No, thank you.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I looked at it and I started to freak out. So, okay, what's next?
All right, here is Terry Savage on the Wintrust business launch.
Okay.
A guest of Steve Bertrand.
Okay.
I would bet that he spent the last week moaning.
Now, that was her first time.
Yes.
She's never been on the show before. That's good. Yeah. That was a good one, too. Okay. Yeah.
All right, and that last one was from Jesse.
All right,
this
Jesse.
Next one's from Celine. Here's
Celine Dion.
Yeah,
avid listener
from Canada. Uh-huh. here's King John.
Put your hand down there.
Put your hand down there.
Put your hand down there.
Oh man,
that's skeezy sounding too.
It is creepy. That is creepy. Creepy, creepy. All right,
and then finally here. Is you, Nick.
Oh, come on now.
Capping it off with a real winner here.
A twin seldom comes alone. Oh, man. That's the name. That's here's what the topic was.
Uh-huh.
Here's
sure.
what the topic was, Esmeralda.
Mm.
We were talking about how movie titles are translated in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is the title of The Parent Trap.
Oh, okay.
What were the best ones? Oh, Leaving Las Vegas.
Is that a different type of movie?
Leaving Las Vegas in, I can't remember what country, but Leaving Las Vegas in another country, the title was actually I'm Drunk and You're a Prostitute.
I mean, straight to the point.
Was it Japan?
It was Japan.
What were some of the other ones?
I want to say China for Free Willy was like a whale flies
to heaven. Yeah, yeah. Like Willy dies.
Aww.
Some of them were absolutely hilarious.
I do like that, though, the whale flies to heaven.
So, well, that's it for the straight out of context.
That's it.
All right, well, let's try this thing. We'll hold it. What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody spies. Like
hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody
spies. Spies. Like us.
Yeah, that's another Friday feature. It's Nick D Show Spies. This is when you listen to the radio 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time mentions me, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, Tom, what do we got?
All right, just a couple of quick mentions here. First one coming to us from Linda. This is Justin Kaufman.
All right, that's going to do it for the Steve Cochran Show. I'm back tomorrow. I'm actually on tonight as well, Dave. Mm-hmm. You want to come in?
No, but I don't know if you got the word that you're also, after your show tonight, then you're doing the 11 to 2.
11 to 2.
Up until 11 to 1 until Nick comes
then
on.
Then I'll co-host with Nick and just stay around,
He doesn't want to co-host with me. I'm the last person on the planet he wants to co-host.
I actually would love to see that.
I'd be very curious.
I would love
me
to
and
see.
I've been on the air with Justin.
Sure.
Yeah. I've never co-hosted with him.
I would love to see all the hosts at one point do
co-host with
me? Do every shift, though, like that. Like they tag along.
You know what's funny is there was they were trying some stuff out when we were without a morning man years ago. And they were, you know, filling the morning slot with people. And I actually did morning drive. Once Cochran took over, I subbed a bunch of times for Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
And they teamed us up. So it was me and Cochran at one time as a testing, and that was fantastic. And then it was me and J-Dub, and that was a little weird. But, you know, so, but yeah, no, I've actually co-hosted with a couple of people here.
Very interesting.
So, yeah. All right, one more, right?
All right, one more. Coming to us from Fox Valley, Mike, here's Wendy.
But then with the earthquakes happening now, I was getting caught up on Big Brother. I love that show. I know Nick DiGilio likes it as well. And actually, you make fun of me and feel free to do that. Okay. But CBS has it, and it's my favorite mindless summer watch.
Absolutely, Wendy. And I finally have someone on the show, Esmeralda, who likes Big Brother.
God.
Tom?
Come on.
Let me just say this. I do watch it. I do love it. And there's that damn roller coaster again. I do like it. I love it. And I have to say that this current season, the worst house guests I've ever seen. They're the stupidest people on the planet. finally,
to get to slim pickings, you know.
A couple of things happened. Did you watch last night? Tom?
No, I did not get to watch last night.
Oh, you got to watch it. You got the veto competition. Not the veto competition. Because, you know, somebody gets voted out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the comeback, the camp comeback competition. Legendary.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't wrong about the other episode in terms of drama level.
Oh, my God.
Does this even top that?
Bella, Nicole, come on now.
That's true.
But no. Let me tell you something about this. It's a solid episode. Good episode. Okay? So somebody gets booted to camp, whatever the hell it's called, and then they have to fight the way they get back. And there's a competition last night where they have to, one of them returns to the house, and it's spectacular competition. So, but I love Big Brother, man. I just love it. I don't care. And I know I got mocked, and I know that Wendy gets mocked.
Y'all should get together.
Yeah, I know.
Listen,
here's the thing. I've Facebooked back and forth with Wendy while the show was on. I'm not kidding.
You guys should make like a group chat.
I just love it. Even with a cast as idiotic as this one, like these house guests are the worst. They're the worst. There's so many jerks in there. There's so many stupid players who have no idea what the strategy of how you play the game.
Yeah,
it's infuriating. But I watch it every time. It's three nights a week.
Would you ever want to be on it?
No.
I just like watching the train wreck.
Here's the thing. You know how most of the people are in their 20s and they're always shirtless and in bikinis? That's what it is. You know, you got muscle guys with their shirts off all summer long, bikinis, women, and then you usually have an old dude.
There you go, Nick.
Well, that's the thing. Here's the thing. The old dude that's on right now,
yeah.
I'm a year older than him. And they call him the old dude. So, you know what?
Tom, actually,
he says he at one point he says he's 54.
Yeah.
We're the same age. He started on the show at 53, so he may have had a birthday in the house.
Dude.
Yeah. So, but anyway, he's considered the old guy. He's 54.
Right.
Sure.
Well, when you're all fetuses.
Well, is it any better than being called the kid? I get called the kid all the time.
Yeah.
Tom.
He's so young.
What do you mean you didn't 12? Watch All in the Family when it was on TV?
I wasn't born yet, so.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you weren't even a zygote, Tom. Yeah,
we have to break here. And then we'll come back and we'll get fly. 312-981-7. Yeah. That number.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't it sound like Orion took a breath and then went right into the lead-in?
That's what we call production, baby.
Yeah. Sounded like you just took a breath after the commercial.
Yeah, what are you talking about? He's here.
It's right. Hi, Orion. How you doing? Hello. That was my Orion Samuelson.
He does that live
soybeans.
Every time.
He's the best. Orion's the best. All right. It's Fly Jams. It's Friday. Can we hear from DJ Luscious Hushus?
Oh, yeah. Luscious Hushus, baby.
That's right. DJ Luscious Hushus. And we have a special visit from Esmeralda the Heart Melda. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki. Viggity Viggity Vic is Viggity Viggity Sick. But he'll be back on Monday. Hey, also, coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Okay, Let's say we got. Do we have some requests?
Oh, we got tons.
Oh, well,
of requests
today. Let's get funky.
All right, we're gonna open this up with a special one. This goes out to Esmeralda from Margaret. It's Brick House.
House. She's mighty mighty. Just letting it all hang out. She's a brick house. I like lady stack. That's a fact. Ain't holding nothing back. This is how the story goes.
Yeah.
She knows she's got it. So kind, Margaret.
Yeah,
thank
you. All right. We got some more funky stuff going on here. It's Fly Jams Friday. All right, Luscious Hushes, what's next?
All right, next up, a little bit of Diana Ross. The song is Upside Down, and this is coming to us from Steve. Let's take a listen.
Steve, this is a jam.
Yeah. Round and round. That is a fly jam, but the words. I recently was listening intently, and I went, what?
Yeah.
It's all about this man cheating on her, and she still goes back?
Yeah.
I'm very angry about that.
Yeah.
Still a fly jam, though.
By the way, Dean gave The Lion King an A-.
Of course he did. I'm sorry, Dean.
Seriously, that's the only positive review I've seen.
He always loves the Disney remakes, and I get it. I get why.
Yeah, did he like Dumbo?
I don't remember if he. I don't think he loved it, but he gave it a better score than most people. He really liked Beauty and the Beast, if memory serves.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he liked Aladdin.
By the way, he just gave The Farewell, the Awkwafina movie. He gave that a B+. He gave The Lion King an A-. I love you, Dean.
You guys should have a battle of the wits.
Oh, we've disagreed a lot. Dean and I have disagreed a lot, and there's a mutual respect.
I
love
the
guy.
You should do it in person.
Yeah, no, sometimes we have not in person, but like
battle of the critics.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But no. It's I think Dean's awesome. I respect him. We have different tastes in movies.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
So, okay. What's next?
All right. Well, wouldn't be Fly Jams Friday without a little Earth, Wind, Fire.
Oh, please.
Here is Serpentine Fire coming to us from John.
Your face like the morning sun is sparkling to shine.
How many people in that recording?
194.
Of course. It was a slow day.
It was a slow day. By the way, this weekend, Dean is hosting a screening of Ghostbusters. I believe it's at Ravinia, right? With the CSO playing the music.
No, I thought it was West Side Story.
No, it's Ghostbusters. I'm looking at the promo for it right now.
Ghostbusters.
He's doing Ghostbusters, yeah.
I wonder who... that's a great idea, to host a screening
of Ghostbusters.
Of Ghostbusters for the anniversary.
35th anniversary, yeah.
No,
but that's going to be cool. Dean will be out there. He'll have some. He'll do an intro, and then the CSO is going to play the music along with the movie. That's awesome. That's a lot of fun.
Huey Lewis will be there playing Braintree,
playing the Ray Parker Jr. ripoff song. All right, I think we have time for one more.
Yeah, real quick. Here is "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough" for our good friend. This is. Oh my gosh, I forgot to write it down.
All right,
you know who you are.
You know who you are.
And I just remember, Mike in Louisville.
Mike, all right.
In Louisville.
That's one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs of all time. I love it.
Slaps.
All right. Esmeralda, what a pleasure.
Same.
It was really great having you back. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, absolutely.
And stay cool.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Okay.